This week, Ubisoft charted a course for their near future. Over the next few years, we're going to see The Division, The Division, The Division. Not The Division, but still Tom Clancy. Assassin's Creed. 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 And Assassin's Creed. And some other games. This is just one smorgasbord of some kind of variety. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you about The Division and Assassin's Creed. And the rest of the Ubisoft in the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 929 of our show for tonight, September the 11th of 2022. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined each week here to talk about video games, gaming culture, the gamer lifestyle with my friends, although sadly not Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers tonight. She has the night off. I'm just going to be real with everyone. It's been a week, trademark, patent pending. And so it's kind of a miracle that we're here doing a show tonight. But A, nobody loves to miss 2 weeks of shows. That's, you know, what's the secret of doing a podcast for over 20 years? Make sure you stay regular, right? Although I'm sure everyone would have understood if we took another week off, and I'm going to get into why in a little bit. we kind of push forward with tonight. However, Dark Sakura, she is still recovering from some under the weather stuff, and it affects her voice. So she's actually not even doing really her personal streams. She just is resting her voice and not talking right now to make sure she fully recovers. So obviously doing this show would be very difficult in line with that vision. So she has the night off so she can rest. However, joining me tonight, as he does usually do, say hello to Loki. Hi, Loki.
Hello.
How are you doing, Loki?
I'm doing okay, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a week for me and it's been a week for you. So my voice is a little off because I think many of you have already seen this on like Twitter and social media. I got COVID. So I'm recovering. And this, you might be going, wait a minute, didn't you already have COVID? Yeah, I did. About 6 or 7 weeks ago, I already had COVID the first time. So I had COVID for the second time, and this time was much worse. It was very clearly a different variant because the symptoms were very, very different. So if my voice does sound a little bit like sultry smoker voice, not that I want to glamorize smoking here in the year 2022, but there was a time in my life when I, you know, would go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show and smoke cloves behind the theater. I quit a long time ago, thank you. But my voice is getting back into that range right now. So if my voice does sound off, that's what's going on. So it's both Dark Sakura and I dealing with illness issues. But I feel well enough voice wise to do the show. And I'm also kind of like, I need to do OLR. Like after this week, I've literally gotten to do nothing I enjoy this entire week. Dragon Con was great, and I'll get into that in a minute, but I've gotten to do nothing I enjoy this week. I always come back from Dragon Con extremely motivated to make content and do stuff. And this COVID put the brakes on all of that. So that's kind of been a bummer. So I'm really glad to be back here doing OLR with you. And thank you for the kind words over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. That's V-O-G Network. And you can comment along with the show. First off, I want to acknowledge there's a hype train going on in chat right now. Thank you so much for that. You guys don't have to support like that, but you do. And just, I want to say, I really appreciate that. We will read all of those donations at the end of tonight's show after we're done recording the podcast, because this is also a podcast, of course, that you can get in iTunes, Spotify, you know, all the places that most people listen to podcasts. Some of the comments in chat, my deaf says you sound a bit off, but not bad. Thank you. Dr. Cia says, yeah, I notice it, but yeah, it's fine. Yeah. So I want people to know, if my voice sounds different tonight, it's not like something in the podcast, or it's just the fact that I'm recovering from COVID again. Loki, you've also had quite a bit of a week. I want to give you the space to talk. We will talk about video games. And I know video games probably for both of us have been a great and needed distraction this entire week. But I want to give you some space to talk about your week as well, Loki, if you want to tell us about
it. Sure. Let's talk about my week. So, let's see. So last Sunday, my mom passed away, So she had like when I picture like the worst case scenario as far as like how I look at my life as far as like work sucks, you know, then you retire and then like then you know you have that time to like do whatever you want. Well, so basically she retired last year and you know she was looking to enjoy her retirement. Come around New Year's, I think it was like shortly after the first, like shortly around New Year's time, she got a minor stroke. So obviously there was something going on. So it wasn't too impactful. She like lost a tiny bit of her vision, but for the most part was just normal. Then they were trying to investigate like some heart valve issue that she had. That they thought might have been causing the leaking, like causing clots because it was leaking or something like that. In March, she had a full blown stroke, which caused her to lose more vision, to lose the ability to speak clearly, I guess. It's basically hit her speech center. So the best she could do was like one or two words. And a lot of times those words would be the wrong words coming out. She could understand just fine, but she couldn't, like, really talk clearly. And it was also, like, very, very mumbly, you know, very quiet, like, strained almost to talk. so then they kept pushing back her heart surgery because she obviously had the strokes and they have her on blood thinners and, like, we're getting all that. So in July, she finally has her valve replacement surgery. And everything seemed like, okay, we're going to finally address the source of the clotting. And also before that, she had like fibroids that they thought may have been cancerous, but they weren't able to kind of like tell if they were or not. It was inconclusive if it was or not. So that was another thing that she would have had to have a hysterectomy to address that as well. They were assuming that it was cancerous, but they weren't sure. So anyways, valve replacement surgery. She's in the ICU for a while. And it doesn't seem to be, she's having clotting issues now. So she's losing blood flow to her hands and her feet and tissue's starting to die. So like her fingertips are starting to go black and wither away. Her toes are starting to do that as well. So come to find out, originally they thought it was an allergic reaction to heparin, which is a blood thinner. But after doing different tests and after like basically trying to treat everything they can, they came up with the diagnosis that it's catastrophic APS syndrome or antiphospholipid syndrome, which is basically catastrophic means it's horrible. It's very rare to have it that strong. It's like 1 in 100,000 or something like that. And it's basically the immune system mistakenly attacks the proteins in the blood, causing clots everywhere. So she was basically clotting her veins, her arteries, organs, everything, which is extremely painful for her, you know, extremities and all that stuff. So fast forward now to, gosh, it was 2 weeks ago, Monday. So the beginning of the week from Sunday when she passed. So Monday, we had a meeting with the doctors and the whole like nursing team. And they basically said, there's nothing we can do for her. She's dying. So to start off the week, I had to tell her because they aren't going to do it. I had to tell her that she's dying. So that was fun to have a conversation with somebody to let her know. She knew what was going on. You know, obviously she was worried the entire time. She wanted to go home. She didn't want to be she was in the ICU for, I think, 3 to 4 weeks. So, which is coming out of surgery, you're supposed to be there for a couple days and that's it. So clearly knew that something wasn't up. And I mean, during that time, it's possible, like she was sleeping a lot. It's possible that she could have had other strokes. We don't know. But anyways, she finally got released into hospice care, which is basically end-of-life care, to us. So we had her, she was sent to her home to basically pass away, to die. So we brought her home on Thursday, and then she was, you know, she was still with it, like, on Friday and stuff like that, and, you know, able to communicate. It seemed like, you know, she was comfortable and everything, but it just, it progressed pretty fast. You know, we weren't able to, you know, keep her as comfortable. We kept having to up the morphine and stuff. Thankfully, though, because of, I mean, it's a horrible syndrome to die from, incredibly painful. I can only imagine how scared she was, but she was really out of it with the Ativan and morphine that they were giving her, or we were giving her. So thankfully, I don't think she was really lucid. But yeah, so she passed away Sunday morning. Ironically enough, my in-laws were coming to visit. And when I first got there Sunday morning, I could tell, like, I could hear her breathing. She had the, they call it the rattles. It's basically you lose the ability to swallow, and it's kind of like snoring, I guess, sort of. It's horrible sounding.
Mm-hmm.
But she was, like, very loud when I got there. And then, like, I remember, like, as the morning went on, I was like, yeah, she seems to be getting quieter now. Like, I don't, you know, maybe she's starting to pass or whatever. And so I had checked on her, and she was, I mean, at that point, she wasn't waking, like, opening her eyes at all anymore for, like, the last 12 hours or whatever. And then, so by the time my in-laws came to visit, when we went back to the room, she had passed already. So, very sad. You know, it wasn't as hard, like, honestly, to see her, like, pass away. It's just knowing how much she suffered for the last, like, gosh, months. So, it was kind of a relief.
Yeah.
That. But yeah, it sucks.
There's a lot of parallels from, you know, what I went through 5 years ago as well. So I'm not saying that in a way to make it about me, but I'm saying that, sure, in a way where it's like I can really relate to, like, you know, a lot of what I'm hearing and so forth. And just, you know, I encourage you to look at chat right now. There's a lot of love from a lot of people in our chat room right now, sending their regards and well wishes. And you're absolutely you're absolutely right about a couple things. One, she already knew she was going to pass away. Like, you weren't really breaking that news. You were just probably giving her confidence in what she already knew. And you're right. She's no longer having to suffer or anything. So all the decisions, yeah, you all made were correct.
And it was tough, like, because we had to go visit her in the hospital. Like, we divide our time between myself and my sister to go visit her each day in the hospital. And it's just, it's hard to see her like that. It's just, mm-hmm, constantly, like, she's, you know, looking at her fingers, who, I mean, at the very least, they thought, okay, you know, if they can get the clotting under control, it may be that she loses her fingertips, but she's able to, you know, live a normal life. And
right,
and it honestly, if that's all it was, it, I mean, it sounds horrible, because they're like, even like, I'm like, do you have to amputate that? And they're like, no, I'll just fall off like an umbilical cord. I'm like, that's horrifying.
Wow.
But they, like, if that's all it was, because it was on her non-dominant hand too, that wouldn't be so bad. I mean, that would suck, but it wouldn't be so bad. But yeah, it was just unfortunate. It sucks because, like, you know, I'm looking forward to retirement because I hate my job. And so it's like, this is a potential outcome. That sucks.
Well, it emphasizes also the very important, this is why we have to do things now. You know, we have, right, to enjoy all the time that we have now, because even getting to 65 in retirement is never guaranteed. You,
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's only 67 is what,
yeah,
she wasn't.
So
yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, you never know.
You can plan for an amazing retirement. You still want to take full advantage of your 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on. Don't be a workaholic and not take advantage of those fun things now.
Of course, yeah. Don't kill yourself over your job.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's sad, but at the same time, I was expecting this outcome, like,
right,
weeks ago. So it wasn't unknown. And like, even like during like last week and this week, it's just been like trying to just get back to normal as quickly as possible, just not worry about, not focus on it too much, you know. It's so, it's been for the most part pretty okay. Well, I haven't been too upset about it, but yeah, it's hard to talk about every now and then. But I mean, at least she's not suffering anymore, so there's that.
Well, Well, thank you for sharing, Loki. I know I know it's a difficult story to share, but I think there's a lot, you know, I definitely identify with a lot of what you're sharing. And I think there's a lot of people in chat that this is hitting home for. I think a lot of us, too many of us in the past few years have joined the Lost Parent or Parents Club. And there's a lot of hugs going around in chat and the family for you. So,
yeah, now we're still worried about my grandfather, because he's 96.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like,
yeah,
that's a matter of time. Like, because, well, yeah, she had lost her mom literally last year, like almost a year, you know, ago. So, yeah, that was hard for her, too. And it's got to be, I can only imagine what he's going through, too, losing his wife and then losing his daughter. Like, that's,
yeah,
I can't imagine.
Well, you know, in big world news this week, of course, we know the Queen passed away and she was 96, you know, and there's a lot of kind of, obviously her being a big political figure, there's a lot of takes all over this, which is interesting because she actually has nothing to do with politics, as I understand it. She's more of a figurehead, but there's way too many opinions on a British monarch in America, which is strange to me. But I'm going to digress. It's one of those things where I think a lot of people kind of look at that and go, well, I mean, she's 96, let her go quietly and without all this pomp and circumstance and the big deal that people are making it out to be. But I get that she's a different, you know, type of figure. 96 is still an incredible run, you know, and people are making all of these comparisons to, oh, she was around for this and this and this that happened at the, you know, she's as old as sliced bread and all the same stuff they were saying about Betty White over here, who was basically the queen of America. So, you know, it's, 96 is an incredible run, but my grandma made it to 99. So, you know, there might still be a few years, to go, and many get past 100 even. So, yeah.
Yep.
So I guess speaking of, enjoying things in the moment and doing things while you can, let's talk about my week too. So I went to Dragon Con, and that's why I missed the last show. I've been going to Dragon Con for the past, God, since 2013 was my first Dragon Con. So this would have been basically my ninth, because technically 2020, I don't count that one. Yes, I know there was a virtual year and many people still count that for their streak. I don't. This was the ninth year for me. So I would say 9 Dragon Cons and 1 virtual Dragon Con. So I went, and I had a really good time this year. The panels I got to host, I had some really good ones and some really good experiences. Loki, I got to do that Red Dead Redemption actors panel, which is important because they're not voice actors, and everything in the promo said they were voice actors. They were voice and performance. So they're really performance actors. And we actually talked a little bit about at the panel about kind of the difference. And that's not, it was never a discussion about minimizing the importance of voice actors, just pointing out that they're different art forms, right? Just like you can paint with watercolor, you can paint with oil, right? It's just different ways of making art. So we talked a lot about the performance capture element of it and kind of what made that difference over. So they were a good group. I was really happy and honored to do that panel. It was a Monday morning panel, so it was not super well attended for a ballroom panel, but it still had a really good crowd. There was somebody that came all the way from China that asked a question, and I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. So yeah, it was it was a good panel. I got to do on the video game track some discussions on diversity in games and microtransactions in games. Sadly, those panels weren't recorded, so I don't think you'll see them anywhere. But they were a lot of fun to participate in, and some really, really good points and things brought up. I got to do a couple panels on the digital media track. I got to do one about streaming when you're over 40 years old. And what was interesting about that was an interesting panel because we had some very, very big name podcasters on that panel. The McElroys, a couple of the people from the family, and they do My Brother and Me, I think is the name of their big one. And they have another big one that's D&D. I think it's the whole family playing D&D together or something like that. I don't listen to a lot of stuff because I don't want to be influenced. The only shows I really listen to anymore are shows by drag queens. And I can say the McElroys are not drag queens. So they're just not in my wheelhouse for things I listen to because, you know, there's A, there's too many, and B, I don't want to be accidentally influenced or steal from another show. But I know these folks have a huge following. That room was completely full. And they had people outside in the hall watching the streaming together while it was streaming out of the room, because the room could only hold like maybe 80 people. So it was very interesting to do a panel for other people's fans. But I thought it was a good discussion, and I thought Bobby did a really good job moderating it. And I thought – and I will say the McElroys were you could very easily be a diva in a situation like that, and they absolutely weren't. They shared the space equally with the rest of us that were on the panel, and I really appreciate that. And that says speaks to a very high level of professionalism from them. One of them used to be with Joystick, the blog, years ago, so they know gaming, and I think they know Bobby from different circles, and maybe me, I don't know. But yeah, Bobby says it was technically Vogue's panel. Bobby. Yeah, we were the ones that submitted it, but nobody was there to see us. Well, maybe actually, people did try to come to see us, because I did hear from several people that just didn't realize they would have to get to that panel an hour beforehand to see us. So not to say nobody was going to, but just really underestimated the star power, I guess, that was on that panel. So, yeah, technically it was submitted by us, but it was fun. It was a good panel. It was recorded, so you will be able to see that on YouTube in a couple weeks when they put that online. It's on their Twitch channel as well. I did another panel, which was about I don't remember in the moment. What was it? Oh, it was the audio to video one that Vogue has done in years past, but this year somebody else did it, and Bobby and I were just kind of experts on that panel, or whatever you want to call it. That was a good panel too. Sadly, that one was recorded, so that will be on YouTube as well. Sorry, sometimes it's hard to keep track what is and what isn't recorded. And then I got to do a panel on the horror track. I know that one was not recorded in any way. There's only a few pictures out there of that, but that was one on Horror No Respect. And that was a lot of fun. And I was really jazzed to get to do a panel on the horror track this year with more of the hosting stuff that I do on the side growing and so forth. So that was all great. So yeah, I met a lot of great people. Professionally, an incredible Dragon Con. Professionally, an incredible Dragon Con. And I really see, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to jinx anything, but it looks like 2023 may be an even bigger and better year. And that is really, really exciting. And I'm going to cross my fingers and toes for all that stuff. But then, you know, I was staying with Bobby Black Wolf at Black Wolf Manor and Mrs. Black Wolf. I was staying there Monday night. I used to fly home on Monday night, Labor Day, but then we kind of made it a tradition. I think the first year was maybe 2018, I think, that I actually went and I stayed at Bobby's place. And it's a nice way to decompress. I got to see their house. I get to, you know, he has that very nice theater. Sometimes we'll watch a movie or we'll play a game. Or, you know, I think we were watching a little bit of Twitch this year because I think Alan was broadcasting a little bit. So we watched him on the big screen. And, you know, he has his arcade, and I'll talk a little bit about that and all that stuff. So it just, you know, it's a nice way to like decompress after the con and then get on the flight on Tuesday, which is the way to do it. And because the airport's a lot less fucky on Tuesday, too. That's the other important thing. And the flights are a little bit cheaper. So all that stuff is very cool. Tuesday morning, I wake up and I have a pretty bad sore throat, and I'm like, uh-oh. But I'm thinking, well, this can't be COVID because I just had COVID 7 weeks ago. Like, I should have antibodies for at least 2 months. I'm good. And this is probably, you know what? I've been taken in the air. It's different here. It's probably a little bit of con crud because I was around a bunch of people. Even though I was masked when I wasn't on a panel, I wore my mask more than most people did, and so forth. I'm like, it's whatever. It's just a little thing I caught, picked up, whatever. And I guess I probably could have taken a test, but at the same time, what would that have done? I was not going to impose on Bobby Black Wolf and Mrs. Black Wolf to stay at their house for an additional 10 days. And I was not, you know, really prepared for that sort of thing. And I didn't have any reason to really think it was COVID. So I had to get to the airport because my flight was going to be leaving. So I went to the airport and I flew home. And as the day went on, my day was getting a lot worse and I started to feel sicker and sicker and sicker. And when I got home, I immediately took, I'm sorry for the, noise that went through in the background there. I thought I had my alerts turned off. Sorry about that. That is not you. It is me. I was getting sicker, sicker. So I took a test when I got home and bam, it's COVID. And it's like the last time I had it, I had just like a breath, a faint, a hint of a line, but it was a line. This time, solid red, you're fucked line just shows up on the test. So I was like, great. I just flew home and exposed how many people to COVID. But here's the thing. Can I sit around and feel guilty all day about that? No. I wore my mask very well the entire way home because I knew, if nothing else, I probably had con crud and so forth. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wear my mask diligently. I maybe took it off twice for 5 seconds to take a down water and shove a handful of pretzels in my mouth. And that was it. Now, did the people around me wear masks on the flight? No. Nobody. Nobody. There comes a point where I can't be responsible for other people that know the risk and so forth. I did everything I could, whether I had COVID or not. Speaking of precautions and all of that, I'm definitely not mad at Dragon Con or any of that because that would be messed up. I'm a big boy and I know that I was going to a convention that was going to be attended by many, many people and that there would be a risk of COVID. I thought falsely that my recent COVID would have given me extra protection, but even going into it, I knew, well, weird things happen. People can still get it. And very clearly I got some other type of variant. So I'm a big boy and I own the fact that I knew the risk. I went into the situation. I'm not mad at anyone for the fact that I have COVID, but me. However, I was disappointed that the masking policy and adherence was nothing like it was in 2021. In 2021, Dragon Con, man, everybody wore their masks. And it was, you know, people kept it on the whole time. The masking was very good. Everyone did their thing. This year, it all fell apart. And I would say in the hallways and walking around the convention, maybe somewhere between 20 and 25% of the people were wearing masks. And in the panel rooms, maybe a little more because people would, some of the door people going into some of the tracks and events were reminding people to put their mask on and maybe something a little bit more about the enclosed spaces. I don't know. I could theorize the whole day, but the masking was not what it was in 2021. However, my understanding is Dragon Con put out their masking policy only to be followed up by the CDC a week later, who the CDC now comes in and says masking's optional. So everybody comes to Dragon Con and wants to start pitching a fit and they start pointing at the CDC thing and go, but the CDC says masking's optional. Volunteers of Dragon Con get sick of this fight after having to do it so many times. I don't blame the volunteers for Dragon Con for giving up at some point. The people that are temps working at the hotel also decide to stop giving up this fight because the hotels basically decide, why should we be the bad guy? Why should the Hyatt, the Hilton, the Marriott, why should we be the bad guy when Dragon Con can be the bad guy? It's their policy. So they give up enforcing it at some point. It all fell apart because literally everybody gave up. And I still believe something I said from the very beginning. Precautions work. They worked in 2021. They worked at Games Done Quick and those stories you hear from Bobby Blackwolf. They didn't work here because there were no precautions taken. And that is the fault of the Dragon Con attendees. So, shame on y'all. You messed up. But the reality is, is this Dragon Con? Is this something unique to Dragon Con? Is this Dragon Con's fault? Is Dragon Con a super spreader event? No. And if you're one of those people on Twitter or you're on social media that's sitting there going, well, people that went to Dragon Con, they should know better. They were going to a super spreader event. They're going to go home and they're going to get their family sick and they should feel bad. These people going to Dragon Con, you're stupid if you're going to Dragon Con. I have two words for you. Fuck off. And I'm going to tell you something that's very ugly, but you need to hear it. You're on Twitter talking to random people because you don't have friends in real life that you can talk to because you've pushed them all away with your shitty fuck attitude. I'm telling you that because I care. And that type of behavior on social media where you're literally taking pleasure in people getting sick needs to stop. Shut the fuck up. Now, some people are going to feel very attacked by what I just said, and I want to be very clear on something. I am only speaking to those people that go onto Twitter and start to yell all of this stuff at people because they're taking a risk and they're taking a choice and they know and going into these situations. Hosting and all of this stuff that I do and leading panels and moderating and all this stuff, this is my job. It's not my day job, but it's my night job. And sometimes, I don't like to talk about it, but sometimes it's a paid job. Stop attacking me for doing things I need to do for my job. I knew the risks, I weighed the risks, and I went into the situation. Now back to my earlier point. Or actually, no, I want to make sure I clarify this too, because otherwise people are going to get their panties in a wad because they're going to take what I said out of context. If you are choosing to sit home because you don't feel safe at Dragon Con or any of this other stuff, I support you. That's your right. Go do it. Do what you need to do. You know, I understand. This is why we still have a lot of virtual things that are available. This is why Zoom is so much more a part of our culture now than it was a few years ago and so forth. You have the absolute right to make that choice and do what you need to do for yourself. I support that. So please, if you're in that crowd, do not mistake what I just said, which is, again, people attacking others for doing what they need to do. That's not the same thing. I want to make sure that is very, very clear. I respect anyone who didn't go to Dragon Con because they just felt it wasn't a risk they wanted to take. That's fine. The reason why I say, is it Dragon Con's fault? Is Dragon Con a super spreader event and all this stuff? And I say no, is because let's be real. If I hadn't gotten this at Dragon Con, because I didn't the first time, I would have got it somewhere else like I did the first time. I would have got it at a restaurant. I would have got it at work. I would have got it at Costco. I would have got it at the grocery store. I would have got it at the movies. I would have got it going on walks at the gym. I would have got it at one of hundreds of other places because society has decided we're done with precautions. And precautions work, but without precautions, nothing works anymore. That is society's fault, not Dragon Con's. Dragon Con's just one part of society. So So do I regret going to Dragon Con? Absolutely not. I'm disappointed and frustrated that the masking and all that stuff, because again, I can still say all of this, that people should be able to take risk and go into these situations, do what they need to do for their jobs, their careers, their mental health. Let people make that weighed decision and whatever they need to do. I can say all that. That is not an anti-masking stance, because I can say that, and I can also say, but we should still take precautions like getting vaccinated, wear your mask, and do everything you need to do. Both of those things in my head are true. So that's what it is. And unfortunately, though, the cloth over people's face has proven to be too much after 2 years. And it is what it is. That's society's problem to figure out why we can't bring ourselves to do that after a few years. So getting some comments from chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. SJ100 Matt says, people need to understand that many folks are taking risks into their hands. It's their choice and they have their reasons. Mental health is a big reason. Many folks want to enjoy life the best way they can in this situation. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I know a lot of people that saw Lady Gaga either this weekend, within the week, or last week. You know how many people were at those concerts? More than were at Dragon Con. Now, granted, it was outdoors, but you see how tight all those people are sitting together. It's a risk. And the reason why I said what I said, and I was really nasty to people that need to hear something nasty, because it's just a reflection of their behavior right now, because there are so many of those people that are attacking people on Twitter, making certain decisions, so all this stuff. There are so many people that say that stuff and then turn around and justify, but I need to do this one thing. That's the behavior that pisses me off, is that people will blame Dragon Con attendees, but then talk about their Twitch Con plans or their Anime Con plans or their PAX plans or whatever it is, or their concert they're going to go to, or I can't miss this particular thing, or I've got this big family birthday party coming up, or whatever it is. Like, the hypocrisy smells. It's so bad. Anyway, DJ Ramaz says, people also forget one thing. We are still in a pandemic. Yes, true. She-Hulk 10 says, it's scary, especially long COVID. Absolutely. And it sucks. And I hope some of these symptoms I'm not going to have for a long time. But again, this was something that is because of the way society is right now in every place. I was probably going to get it eventually. Well, I did get it one time already. The only thing that really sucks is the fact that I know now that Alan got it too. And
at least you don't have kids, because that's a whole nother entry vector for that stuff.
Oh, God, don't all get the time. You want to talk about another thing? But anyway, great point. Excuse me. I will try to mute myself and not cough into the mic, but I'm sure you all understand it may happen tonight. I got Alan sick. We tried our best to distance at home, stay apart, and so forth. And of course, I feel bad. Of course, I don't like that this has happened. But Alan's, you know, in his typical graceful, wonderful way, has said, you know what? It's been 30 months. This is going to happen eventually. And he has a very similar outlook I do. If it didn't happen now, it was going to happen like you got it before and I didn't, or, you know, when it was restaurant or the gym or something else, like it was going to happen eventually. So, She-Hulk 10 in chat says, hopefully it will weaken like the flu and die out soon. It does seem to be the way it's going. I am not a scientist. I can say what I had this last week sucked. It was bad. It was worse than a cold. It was worse than a sinus infection, but it wasn't as bad as swine flu. I will say that. So you might remember that was a thing that we here at OLR all got to deal with about 10 years ago. No, longer than that, probably 12 years. It wasn't as bad as swine flu, in my opinion. But it was up there. All right. Anyway, I know I've said a lot and like none of it has been about games, but I think it was important to say. And, you know, if I made you angry with something I said, I just want you to stop and think about some of the things that you say and you put out on social media and so forth, and put yourself in other people's shoes. And again, you have the right to make your own decisions on what is best for you. That is 100% understandable. It is not okay for you to attack other people, blame other people, or make people feel guilty, because we're doing the things we need to do to keep our lives in wellness and running and in good state. Getting COVID is not a moral failing. Repeat it after me. Getting COVID is not a moral failing. Society, our leaders, had a chance to minimize and reduce this 2 years ago in 2020, really in 2019 and gone into 2020. We as a society and the leaders that lead us failed to do that. We are now all paying the price. So if you want to blame something, blame that. Looking at chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Bob Blackwolf says, I respect everyone's risk tolerance and will no longer try to pressure, even if it's mock pressure, people to come to conventions with VOG. Yeah, let people know their options. It's what it is. Mike Deft in chat says, I'm angry that people don't actually listen. Yeah. And DJ Rama says, I've been saying similar things for the last 2 years on my podcast. Well, if you think about it, Rama, it's because we're both right. All right. I had to sneak something out there. All right. Let's actually get into some gaming news now that we're, 45 minutes into the show. Hi, Dark Soccer. I see Dark Soccer joined the chat room. So maybe giving us some thoughts there virtually tonight. So, all right. Let's get into, some actual gaming news. Loki, do you want to start us off? I have a lot of opinions on this, too. Can't wait. You want to start us off with this?
Yeah, we can talk about this. So, there was the whole D23 convention thing this week. So there are lots of different announcements by Disney regarding Marvel, Star Wars, LucasArts, Disney properties, and different things with that. So one of the announcements was a brand new Niantic game called Marvel World of Heroes that is supposed to be coming out in 2023. They had a trailer for it. And it looks generic AF. I don't even know what the hell this is supposed to be. But apparently you're supposed to be able to thwart crime, take on missions, do nonsense. I don't know. And you team up with your friends as well as superheroes.
Not a single frame of game shown.
Of course.
But this is...
As is tradition.
As is tradition for many of these Niantic announcements. Remember the very first Pokemon Go announcement did not have a frame of gameplay in it. I believe whenever it was, they announced Wizards Unite, although that was not a Niantic game. That was Portkey Games used in partnership with Niantic using their stuff. That I don't believe we saw a frame of footage in the launch trailer either. So this is par for the course. So we know it's something to do with Marvel superheroes. And apparently in an interview with one of the developers kind of gets into it's creating your own superhero, which is, I guess, somewhat of a first in these Marvel games. I didn't realize there were like no other Marvel games where you couldn't create your own hero. But I guess it also does kind of make sense. And it sounds like they're aiming for a very robust character creator that reflects, you know, all the spectrum of our society and all this stuff right now.
I mean, Lego Marvel Superheroes, you can create your own characters as well, but
okay. Well, so yeah, I don't, but I'm only saying that because it was in the interview or whatever.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
They were saying like, oh, well, we're like the first. So I don't know what it is that they're firsting, but yeah, there it is. So, and Dark Soccer is saying Midnight Suns, and there was another Marvel phone game as well. So somebody over there is full of it, or one element of it that's new.
Well, Midnight Suns is going to be a brand new game, but like, they have another like game coming out with Captain America and Black Panther as well. I'm not really sure what that's all about, but this I saw it and I was like, cool. Except also, like I don't know. It's like there's so many Niantic games that are being announced, and it's like, will it really come out?
Yeah, we're not seeing a lot of receipts for the announcements. I think it's starting to like, bug some people. And I get
how many games have they worked on that they just went, eh?
Well, Catan got canceled. We know that one, right? It was being tested in Australia, New Zealand, and a couple other countries as well. And they yanked it. So there's that. Oh, Questbusters clarifying, in Midnight Sun, you can customize the hero, but the hero is a new character created by Marvel for the game. So that's the element, because I believe in this one, the hero is supposed to represent you. So you are the, so I think that's what they're getting at, but we're really getting into weeds, whatever.
Who cares? Like, it doesn't matter as long as the gameplay is good.
Gameplay, right? It doesn't matter about the character. So, although it would be nice if all these, you know, this wide spectrum of society is something that is reflected in the game. That's great.
Let me just put it this way, Niantic. It's very easy. You'll never recapture Pokemon Go ever again. You can try, but it's never going to happen again. That lightning doesn't strike twice, even though you have Thor. But It's just, it's never going to happen. I'm sorry. You can throw whatever property you want at this. It's just not going to happen.
Catan whatever. Didn't happen. Transformers, but I believe that was also a third party making that in partnership with Niantic. That got canceled. Niantic laid off some of their staff. We don't know why. I suspect they were trying to push the more Google Glass kind of AR gaming a little sooner maybe than it was ready. And maybe that's, but I really don't know. I can only speculate. But we know Niantic has announced recently a game called Peridot, an original IP that we don't know anything about yet.
I'm more interested in something like that. Like, I think honestly, all these, like, I mean, Pokemon was kind of a one-off, but like, it's just, there's no property that really gets me excited. I love Marvel stuff, but like, I am not excited at all about this. And I get it. I may not be their target demographic, although I don't know who would be then at that point, but. Like, it's just, eh.
I like the Pikmin game, but I've talked about that a lot on the show. And that is more, I also, unlike you, I have a default love for the AR and get outside and explore kind of games. I've always been a fan of Niantic and that genre. So that's, you know, that's it's obviously something, something there. What else? We know the NBA game was announced that is coming, but we don't know much about that either. So I think that's what the problem people are starting to have with Niantic is that you're announcing too many things that either don't come out or we don't know anything about it. So Niantic might want to reexamine their pipeline from announcement to release because they've got too much now that they've announced that they haven't released.
I get that they made the announcement now because it's D23. Right. So, well, yeah. You know, that's fine. But that makes sense.
It didn't have to be D23. It could have been any time. But here's why I think it's actually super newsworthy is because when Pokemon Go came out, everybody tried to copy it and make their own type of Pokemon Go. I don't think anyone was successful at it. What we had Garfield Go. We had Draconian Go or whatever it was called. We had the Jurassic Park game, which I feel like a couple people played that, but I don't even think that one's a big deal anymore. And we just have seen that, like, in general, other companies trying to take on the strength of Pokemon Go wasn't working. And I said from the very beginning, it's going to take a very strong IP to compete with Pokemon Go. In fact, I think the only company that could really take on Pokemon Go would be Disney. So the part of this news that strikes me as, oh, that's interesting, is that Disney isn't taking it on. They're partnering up. So from my perspective, whether you like it or not, Niantic is now going to have the monopoly on these AR games for quite some time until someone else can figure out a way to build a database of real-world locations and collecting this type of information that Niantic is cleverly getting from their player base, like portal scans and Pokestop scans and all this stuff that shows the stuff on the ground and all this. Unless another company can really think of a way to take that on in a way that Niantic is now already two or three steps ahead with. This is like Microsoft and Game Pass. Niantic is now already three steps ahead of anyone else. And this Disney partnership, now that there's nobody even in the rearview mirror at this point. So yeah. That part to me is what's interesting is that, Disney just decided if you can't beat them, join them. Mike Defton chat says, if you can't beat them, buy them. I don't could Disney buy Niantic at this point? I don't know. Niantic may be too much money. I think they're worth a lot more than people think. But then again, Disney certainly has no shortage of money. So
I don't think Disney wants to get into gaming per se, and they have LucasArts, but like they're not really doing much with gaming. Well, like it's and very minimal.
Clearly, they have no interest in making their own AR game, so they are letting Niantic do it.
Right. So I don't think that they would purchase Niantic. I don't think they're it would have to be like an amazing success, like beyond Pokemon Go, to even drum up interest enough to do that.
Yeah. The reason why someone will buy Niantic won't be the games themselves. It'll be the data Niantic is amassing about the usage and what the ground really looks like at some of those areas and so forth. That's the type of data somebody's going to want to buy from Niantic at some point, which is why Niantic is kind of smart to sort of license it in their own thing with the whole Lightship. But that's a whole other thing. Anyway. I think this is very interesting. Again, it's hard to say if the game is going to be any good or not when we have literally not even seen one frame. But just as someone who's generally a fan, usually of Niantic stuff, and I've talked at length about him on the show, I wish him well. I want to see it be good. Good luck. I can't wait to actually get my hands on it, hopefully. So, all right, let's talk about the things we have gotten our hands on in this past week. Let's talk about our gaming weeks. I know I've had a lot. Loki, what about your gaming week? What have you been up to?
It's all been Minecraft. I've been working on a single build for about a month now, designing it. So it's now being designed. It's probably going to be the largest thing I've ever built. I think you're going to like it.
You just had something that you built that was like the largest thing you ever built. So you're one up
that was a mountain. A while back, it was 200,000 blocks. I think this is like 300,000 at least. It's very large. It is incredibly large, but it's pretty awesome. It is Mega Man themed.
Oh, so cool!
But it is not my Mega Base, but it could have been my Mega Base if I really wanted it to be. It's that big, but okay. It is not a Mega Base. It is just decoration to cover a farm.
All right. Well, everyone stay tuned to Loki's YouTube channel to check that out when it hits. All right. Well, as I've been homesick and I was supposed to go back to work Thursday. Obviously, I didn't. I've been home pretty much sleeping and playing video games. So I've had a lot. And then, of course, there was Dragon Con as well. So pull up a chair. I've got a few things to get into, but I'll try to be quick. The game I've been playing most this week and weekend is Diablo 3, which I know is kind of old, but I've talked about it before. I recently got back into it because I didn't really care for Diablo Immortal after the first 40 levels or so, but it made me realize I really like Diablo 3, and I've been enjoying Season 27. I'm up to Paragon 650, which is higher than I've ever gotten Paragon-wise. Alan is up to 1,200. In the season, not overall. So we've been both playing a lot of that game, but it's been something we've been able to play together, which is cute. So we've been having fun with that. I have a wizard and I'm up to greater rift level. I think I cleared 90 earlier. So I'm trying to work my way up into the hundreds. I've also been playing Final Fantasy 14. Final Fantasy 14, right before I left for Dragon Con, released the new Island Sanctuary mode, which is interesting because I know Disney also put out their own Disney Dreamlight, which is kind of like this, you know, farming sim, Animal Crossing sim sort of game. Well, they've also put something like this into Final Fantasy 14 with the Island Sanctuary. You go around and you gather materials, you build things, you then use the workshops to build things that you can export for items that you can then turn into cosmetic rewards like mounts and things and all this stuff. So you build up your island, you can capture animals, you keep them in a little part of your sanctuary, you grow plants. So like, it's got this whole little farm sim mode that's very addicting in it right now, that's been a lot of fun. So I'm logging into that like every day to progress my Island Sanctuary. So I don't raid. My only Savage content I do right now is Savage Island Sanctuary, and I've been having a lot of fun with that. I've still been continuing in Dead by Daylight as well. They just released the Project W, or the second Resident Evil pack, which has made way too many Weskers in the killer pool, but he is an interesting killer, and you know, very, very hot. Like, everybody from Resident Evil is so hot. Like, what is up? Like, now I play Carlos, super hot. Ada Wong, I also really hot. Like, everybody is so hot from Resident Evil. But I've been having fun playing the new characters, and just, you know, in general, leveling up. On the plane ride out to Dragon Con, I played some Super Mario Brothers 2 on my Switch because I was like, I want to play a retro title and, you know, play something I can play start to finish on a plane ride. So that's what I've been playing. Then when I was at Dragon Con had a whole little they had two arcades. They had a classic game room that was also a bar and karaoke place. And at the classic game room, I got to play a bit of Gyrus. I actually had the high score. The second high score on the Gyrus machine for a hot minute, because I actually can still remember from the Commodore 64 days where the ship needs to be positioned in the first few stages to get a perfect on everything. So that's kind of fun. I played some Street Fighter 2 with some friends. That was very old school. E-Honda, if you were wondering. And then I played some Mortal Kombat 2 as well. So they had some great classic games. And then I thought this was really funny. I watched my friend. My friend saw this machine and he goes, oh my God, it's Galaga. I got to go play Galaga. I used to play so much Galaga when I was growing up. And I was like, are you talking about Galaga? He's like, Galaga. We always call it Galaga. And I was like, I think it's Galaga because like galaxy, it's galaxy. If you're in the galaxy, it's Galaga. What? Nah, it's Galaga. And I was like, okay. Well, I watched him proceed to get a very, very large score on the Galaga machine. So he was not just making this shit up. He played a lot of Galaga growing up and was still able to do very well for himself. And it was the same thing. He knew everywhere you needed to be on the screen and so forth and all that stuff. So Dark Soccer in chat says, you were always wrong. Here's the thing. He's a friend. I'd like him to stay my friend. Is it hurting anything? Do I need to shit on his childhood? No. I said what I needed to say. Oh, I thought it was Galaga, like galaxy. And he did acknowledge. Oh, yeah, you're probably right. And then continued to call it Galaga. Why should I stop that? What? There's no harm in it. There was also a Japanese arcade. So they used to have Tokyo Attack was the name of the arcade, but Tokyo Attack went under for reasons and things a couple years ago. So now there is a new company. I think they're called Save Point Arcade. Bobby may have to correct me on the name if I'm wrong, but they were the ones that now come out and they brought the Japanese centered machines to the con, and they had like a Beatmania 2DX Beastrover. I didn't realize they were going to have freaking EMUs turned on, or I would have turned on EMUs. So Bobby even got me some footage of playing that game, which he showed on his own show. And that was cool to play 2DX machine. They also had a Beatmania the Final. I hadn't seen one of those machines since, God, did we go to like, I think it was Little Tokyo in LA was the last place I ever saw one of those Beatmania the Final machines. So that was a trip to see that. And I could not remember how to play the songs on that game.
Arcade Infinity, I think, is the last time I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Save Point, yes. Technically, they aren't a new company, but they have stepped into the business that Tokyo Attack had. Okay, awesome. And then the other game I got to play, they had a lot more, but the other game I actually played was Dance Maniacs. Cause it's the one where you wave on the top and on the bottom and it's a lot of fun. And I miss that game. So, yeah, I got to play a little bit of that. So, Dark Soccer, I do not think this is the same group that does California Extreme because they're East Coast based. Now, granted, if they're based in Maryland, as Bobby says, that is still quite the trip. But probably coming all the way out to the West Coast is even more of a trip. There's probably another company on the West Coast that does a lot of this stuff out here. So, yeah. And if the 2DX machine was different, then it probably wasn't the same group. But there's probably a very similar group on the West Coast for sure. But getting over the Rockies with all those machines is probably a big pain in the butt. So you're probably always going to have your West Coast and your East Coast and maybe a Midwest company in there too. Who knows? And then I know the one you all want to hear about is the night I did stay at Black Wolf Manor. You know, the Bobby Black Wolf has his own arcade, right? And he has his own a few machines. He has a Tron machine. Well, these are arcade one-ups, like the one behind me. If you're watching live on Twitch, if you're on the podcast feed, you don't see it, but I have a Burger Time or a Data East arcade one-up replica cabinet that sits behind me here. Black Wolf has a Tron one, and I joked and I said for some time, Bobby, I'm coming over to your house. I'm getting the high score on your Tron machine. And all I did, audience, I did simply what I was going to say or what I said I was going to do. And I got the high score on his Tron machine with some practice. It wasn't a great score. So with some practice, Bobby will take it out in the next year and then he'll rub it in, I'm sure, and it'll be fine. I also played his Star Wars machine. I did not get the high score on the Star Wars machine. I think if you wanted to get the high score on that machine, you needed to start on level 9 and get the bonus for beating level 9. I didn't do that. So there was that. I also got to play pinball at Bobby's house. Bobby has a Mandalorian machine, which I think he had last year because I remember playing that before. But he now has a Rush, like the band, a Rush pinball table. That was a lot of fun to play. this was really cool. I didn't know anything about this until, well, it's like I heard, here's the thing, I'd heard of it, and it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to see it and do it and use it. And this was the first time I used it. And that was Stern's QR code system they have now. So they have this site that you can log into with Stern Pinball, and you can actually scan a QR code on machines when you play them. So it's insider.sternpinball.com. And there's this thing. Oh, damn it. I'm not logged in. I was going to show you the site otherwise. And you can log into the machine by scanning your QR code. And the really cool thing about that, you get achievements, and it tracks on your phone the things you played, and you have your own personal records and stuff like that. And I think that is brilliant because it brings something additional to pinball besides just pinball, which is great. Don't get me wrong. But the thing with that is that you pay your dollar and you're done, and you rarely have anything to show for it. It's like, okay, I had my little thrill for the experience. I knocked some balls around, tee-hee, and I'm done. But now with this QR code thing, if it's set up on the machine, not every Stern machine has them. It's a separate thing they sell. But Bobby put it on his machines that he has. With this QR code thing, you scan the QR code thing and you get achievements and you get to track your scores and all this really cool stuff. So I played the Rush table one time, and then Bobby told me about the QR code thing, and I was like, oh, cool, I got to try that. And I'm like, I want to get some achievements. So let me try the Rush table again. I want to get some achievements. So I played the Rush table again with my QR code and all this stuff. And balls one and two didn't go so well. Ball three, I went on a fucking bender on ball three. I was alive for a very long time on ball three. And I beat Bobby's high score on the Rush machine too. That one I felt a little bad about because I didn't walk in there intending to do that. So I may or may not have gotten myself into a little hot water, and there may or may not literally be a sign outside of Bobby's arcade with my face on it at this point that says, have you seen this man, or whatever it is. And I just happened to have a shirt that day that said, sorry, I was mean to you on the internet, which I'd randomly bought at the mall a few weeks ago. So I set that. So at that point, I wanted to play Mandalorian again. I think I played it once just to like register that I'd played it. I was too afraid to do well on that machine because I don't want to make Bobby Black Wolf cry. Like, I don't want to make him cry. Like, he's been very good. You know what? We have a good time at Dragon Con. We do some great business partner things together. I got to watch him moderate some awesome panels with the guys from Mortal Kombat and all this stuff. He lets me stay at his. I don't want to make him cry. So I had to purposely kind of have a quick game of Mandalorian and let that be that. So luckily, Mrs. Black Wolf has already told me that she does not recognize or authorize the ban or the signage that is outside the arcade. So Mrs. Black Wolf has said I am welcome whenever I want. So Dark Soccer says Tron is at my house right now. Ooh, the machine or the table? Because honestly, I'd play either. You probably don't want me coming over right now, but maybe in a week or so, I'd love to come play that. Dark Soccer says, did my friend Annie ever come by to say hi? No, I didn't. I didn't meet any Annie, so sorry to say. But there was no Dead by Daylight panels or anything like that. So I don't know if she's your friend from that circle or somewhere else. I don't know. But yeah, didn't run into him. I will say one of the panels that we did was the line capped an hour before the panel. And it seems like a lot of people who were trying to say hi to me or Bobby tried to come to that panel. And it was capped an hour beforehand because the McElroys were also on that. So, she hosts some iHeart podcasts. No, I didn't see her. Sorry to say. So, I guess there's always Dragon Con 2023 because I will be back. I sure will. I'm bummed that booster shot that's out there now wasn't available 2 weeks sooner because I absolutely would have got it. You know, precautions work, but it is what it is. When precautions are not followed, here I am. I followed them, but everybody has to follow them for them to work. All right, that's plenty enough about my gaming week. Oh, I should have mentioned the Tilt 5 because Bobby did let me try that for the first time. Do you know what the Tilt 5 is, Loki?
No.
Okay, so long story short, it's these glasses you wear and you stare at this table thing. It's they made it more for board games. I think Bobby heard about it at Gen Con, but they have, you know, other like concept video games. I played a thing that was, we'll call it Marble Madness. It wasn't actually Marble Madness, but it was like a Marble Madness type of thing or a Monkey Ball type of thing. And you stare at this table and you see the image on the table. And as you look around, it like moves with you and so forth. Because like it's like projecting from the glasses onto this reflective material that's on the table, and so it makes it look like it's like it's not VR, but it's a little more like AR, but it's pretty cool. Tilt 5 is Jerry Ellsworth's AR goggles. She was working on the Valve Cast AR before they went VR. That's Bobby's little summary there. That was neat to see. But I didn't really get to play any games on it. It was just one concept demo. So I'll be curious. I watched Bobby do something that looked a little Diablo-y to me, and I was like, ooh, what's that? And he was, because I guess they had released some update and some new demos while we were at Dragon Con, so he was kind of trying them all for the first time. So it feels like one of those things that still has a little baking to do. So I'll be curious to see what kind of experiences they put on that are uniquely for that Tilt 5. Okay. Now I have definitely talked too much about my gaming week. So let's get into some other gaming news. Let's get to it, Loki.
Yeah, so there was also an Ubisoft event where they talked about game announcements in a couple franchises. So some of the non-Ubisoft Assassin's Creed and Division announcements, we had Mario & Rabbids Sparks of Hope. They showed off some more, a new trailer, I think, for that. And that's set to come out on the Switch October 20th. And more on Skull and Bones, still on its way. Apparently, if you are part of Ubisoft's Insider Program, you may be able to get a chance to play an early version of the game. The Riders Republic is getting a Season 4 update called Freestylin' that they're going to have some skate parks and whatnot to actually be able to play in, and I think they're also adding BMX to that as well. And I think that was Netflix, they're gonna be teaming up with them for a few different things, I think Ubisoft related. I want to say they have an Assassin's Creed game and TV show. I'm not really sure what that's about. Mighty Quest and Valiant Hearts 2 are, I think, mobile games that are going to be part of Netflix's like gaming service thing that no one really cares about. Mythic Quest Season 3 had a trailer for that. I can't believe that's on Season 3, so that's, I think, still on Apple TV. They talked about a free trial for Ubisoft Plus, which is like a Game Pass on PC thing for Ubisoft titles. That's going to be, they're going to have a trial for that starting, I think now it runs until October 10th. Trackmania, a new version of that game is coming out. It's supposed to be free to play with no microtransactions, so I'm not sure how they're making their money there. But there's going to be two premium tiers as well that you can buy into, and they said the seasonal updates every 3 months. And that's supposed to be on all the modern consoles as well. Rocksmith Plus is like a... I'm not sure if that's still going to be the similar... I don't know if they still have the accessories that go along with that, but maybe a service that you can still learn how to play the guitar and whatnot, which is kind of cool. New Just Dance game, because of course. And then a whole lot of Assassin's Creed. Whole lot Assassin's Creed. So Assassin's Creed Mirage, which is the next big mainline game, which is going to take place in 9th century Baghdad. Looks kind of cool. They have an Assassin's Creed documentary talking about the development of the game. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is getting a last chapter for free. Assassin's Creed, codenamed Jade, is going to be a mobile game that takes place in China in 215 BCE. Assassin's Creed, the Netflix show we talked about a second ago, they're not really sure what that's still going to be about, but they're going to have a TV show as well. There was Assassin's Creed, codenamed Red, which is supposed to take place in feudal Japan. Assassin's Creed Codename Hex, which sort of looks like the Blair Witch or something that has to do with witchcraft. And Assassin's Creed Infinity, which is supposed to somehow tie all this crap together. This is what it sounds like when you're milking a franchise to death. So
somebody has some lights to keep on over there.
Good luck, Ubisoft, with that. Jesus Christ. Like, and then, of course, along with another franchise, The Division. So Tom Clancy's The Division 2. They're going to be doing like a new PvE mode and some other progression stuff. They said that there's supposed to be a season 10 with some quality of life updates and new difficulty modes. And then season 11 is supposed to continue on the main story. Tom Clancy's The Division Heartland, which is going to take place in Middle America. There's also an Division Resurgence, which is a mobile game that's going to be coming out. Then Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Mobile, also getting, obviously it's a mobile game as well. What else?
Well, we have some thoughts from chat. Sia Tabiri says, can I get an Assassin's Creed that's set in the Edwardian era, and I'm actually just making clothes the entire time? Don't encourage these people on further spinoffs, because you joke, but you know what? Why not a farming sim set in the Assassin's Creed universe? It's a cool new thing to do right now. So why not? Why not add clothes into that too? Assassin's Creed, My Little Cottage. Why not?
You're also getting Assassin's Creed Symphonic Adventure, which is a live concert, a podcast, and a figurine.
Who needs a new podcast? Who needs any of those?
I don't know. Like, is there, like, I get it, Assassin's Creed's a good, it, like, I'm just picturing for a second, like, if this was like Grand Theft Auto, like, if these were all like Grand Theft Auto games that are being announced, I would think that that's even too much. Like, I'd be like, hold on, like, what the hell? Some of these sound cool, like the Codename Red thing looks cool, but like that should be the game of the year. You can't have like four Assassin's Creed games coming out at the same time. Like, that is just ridiculous. And I know these are not all coming out at the same time, but like, you know, I don't need to know the 10-year... This is not the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't need to know like the 10 mainline games you have coming out for this series. Like, just make a good game. Let's focus on the next game. Make it a good game, please.
Going to an earlier comment in chat from, I hope I don't butcher this name, Jess Sevenix, in chat says, will Beyond Good and Evil 2 ever come out?
It wasn't part of this, so probably not.
You know what? Dead Island 2 is apparently finally happening, so anything's possible.
Ain't happening until it's actually out, so.
What's probably happening is that the fucking thing's getting delayed so much, now they have to rescope it for a new console. Think about it. When that game was first announced, it was probably being targeted for PlayStation 3, Xbox 360. We're now on the PlayStation 5. And the Xbox Series X, like, they're probably having to target that or maybe even beyond that at this point. So it's, you know, that's probably what keeps pushing the thing back. If you miss your target, you can really, really miss your target. And now you have to rescope everything. So it's, yeah, but it's I mean, we haven't heard it's gotten canceled, but it could be one of those things where they're basically going to have to scrap it and start all over. Something more akin to what happened with like Final Fantasy 15. Duke Nukem Forever. So, you know, let's see. Questbuster in chat says, even as a AC, I keep thinking Animal Crossing when I say AC, which is funny, but even as an Assassin's Creed fan, this seems like a lot of Assassin's Creed. Yes. I guess the AC version taking place in Japan sounds cool right now, but I'm still thinking about Ghost of Tsushima and how much more excited I am for an eventual sequel to that. SSGO 100 Matt says, Eves did an interview, the CEO of Ubisoft, who, you know, we hate, where he basically strained himself, patting himself on the back about the response of the abuse scandal. Actual Ubisoft employees are saying otherwise about said response actually happening. Lift up those voices to make sure they catch the attention of the media and don't let Yves Guillemot drive that dialogue, because that's exactly what he's trying to do with his statements to the contrary. So I hope the media will continue to report on what the workers are actually saying about what's actually happening on that front, which is not enough. So Yves Guillemot probably needs to be removed as CEO already. And if these 500 Assassin's Creed games don't sell, maybe that might finally happen. Although I somehow still seem to doubt it with, the amount of the stakehold they have and all of that. Right.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that all happen.
All right. Moving on to our next story. It turns out that Facebook Gaming is going to be losing their apps. Now, I want to point out, this doesn't mean that it's been announced that Facebook Gaming is going away, but this is how Mixer started. the beginning of the end, basically. So Facebook has sent out notifications to partners that the apps will be shutting down in October. And I guess one could argue YouTube Gaming has also already done something similar. And YouTube Gaming still has a presence. So it doesn't necessarily mean the end, but it should be noted that Facebook Gaming has not really found meaningful growth in game streaming the same way that Twitch and YouTube have found those things. Facebook Gaming, of course, is run by Meta. They expanded even to IRL streams, things like, you know, chatting, art creation, Excel esports, whatever. They've got it on there. During the pandemic, things like YouTube and Twitch have really gone up, but Facebook hasn't so much. In fact, even Facebook as a platform itself has seen declines in monthly active users earlier this year, and 20% of its share price was lost as a result. So Facebook Gaming notified partners it is going to be ending the mobile game streaming apps. It is saying that they are continuing to support game streaming within Facebook itself, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be something they're going to continue to focus on or put a lot of money into. And you might know that they've put a lot of money into trying to get big talent over at Facebook Gaming. So it looks like it might be the beginning of the end for Facebook Gaming. Oh, and what's this in the article? It looks like when reached out for comment, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, the longest running podcast, had the following to say about it. Nah, 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 nah. I'm only petty sometimes. But let's be real. I hated the fact that Facebook was getting into this space. I never liked them being in it. And quite frankly, I can't wait for them to get out. So sorry to my friends that use that platform to stream on. I don't want to say I told you so.
Have they tried like hot tub streams? You know, because I hear that it seems to be popular on Twitch.
Low key. All right, let's move on to our next story, Loki.
This is funny. This is a response, or the PlayStation boss apparently calls out Microsoft over the inadequate Call of Duty deal, they're saying. So you may remember that Microsoft has committed that Call of Duty is still going to be on the PlayStation platforms for now, at least for at least several more years, but they're saying that he basically said, I hadn't intended to comment on what I understand to be private business discussion, but I feel I need to set the record straight because Phil Spencer brought this into a public forum. It's throwing shade already. Microsoft has only offered Call of Duty to remain on PlayStation for 3 years after the current agreement between Activision and Sony ends. After almost 20 years of Call of Duty on PlayStation, their proposal was inadequate on many levels and failed to take into account of the impact on our gamers. We want to guarantee PlayStation gamers continue to have the highest quality Call of Duty experience, and Microsoft's proposal undermines this principle. Says the company, or wasn't it Sony, or maybe it was Microsoft. Somebody had like the Tomb Raider exclusive rights, or they do these timed things all the time. Yeah. So that's like that's the pot calling the kettle black at this point. Like,
Microsoft had Rise of the Tomb Raider for a year. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But Sony still has Final Fantasy VII Remake exclusive.
Exactly.
We haven't seen that.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, and they've had other exclusives before that as well. Honestly, like, be glad they gave you 3 years, dude.
Look, on one hand, Sony is just doing what they have to do from a business sense. Like, it would not be good business for them not to take a swing at it, you know, however they feel the need to do it. It doesn't make them right. But I understand why they have to say this stuff, because, you know, legally it would, they are in the business of making money, and for them to roll over and, you know, have this franchise potentially leave them even in 4 years with as much money as it makes is a big deal.
Yeah. Here's how it's going to go down. I think is they'll keep it cross platform for now on Sony's platform until the PlayStation 6, whatever the next Xbox console gets announced, and we're talking about a new console launching, then it's like, oh, hey, well, if you want to play Call of Duty, you got to come to this console now.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go, because right now, it is in their best interest to keep it multi-platform, because they're going to make a ton of money off of those users. But later on, when they were trying to sway people to buy into an Xbox console, that's how you do it. Leverage with this stuff. And I'm sorry, but, like, you can cry all about what you want, but you're doing the same thing. So, I don't know. Whatever.
SJ100 Matt chat says, serious question. If Sony made this deal with ABK instead of Microsoft, would Sony be as generous with Microsoft or would they pull it from anything that's not PC or Sony consoles?
They would have pulled it immediately.
You'll have a chance to find out whenever Destiny 3 happens. So, you know, Sony's been buying their own companies lately, too. So you'll have a chance to find out. If rumors are to be believed, Sony will own Square Enix eventually. I don't know how much I believe that one, but, you know, anything is possible at this point. So, Bobby Blackwolf says Sony will say, we're not doing the same thing with the top selling games in this country. That's what Bobby says in chat. So, yeah. All right.
Meanwhile, anybody that's interested in playing any of these games, PC, man. You can get Sony games, you can get Microsoft games, you got everything.
Yeah. I mean, I love consoles still, I do, but, you know, there's lots of great, but PC, you just have to make sure you have the PC that can handle these newer games, and that's not really in the realm of affordability for a lot of people, so there's definitely still a place for consoles, for sure. Before I get into the next story, I wanted to mention this comment on the last story about Facebook from SJ100 Matt, who said Zuckerberg couldn't be reached for comment. He was in his awkward metaverse. How is anybody supposed to believe that the metaverse is the next big thing with those screens? Like, it looks like something that would have been at
he
least
clarified
10 years ago.
that was an early screenshot, and they have better stuff, but way, like, let's just be honest. It doesn't matter though, because it's just uninteresting. I don't care if it's like super photorealistic, it's still boring. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, what are you doing with it? Like, how is this revolutionize anything other than it being a chat room that you do unnecessary? Like, you want me to go work there too?
Yeah,
like, no.
When pushed for further comment, Zuckerberg also said Solo sucks anyway. Let's see. Also, in chat, metaverse, Bobby Blackwolf, there's like three people that'll get that joke. Bobby Blackwolf says PlayStation Home looked better than that metaverse. Yes. SJ100 Matt says Second Life looks better than that metaverse. Yes. That's a lot of the big problem with it. That's for sure. All right. Going to this last story. Sorry, I'm getting the comments out of order, but I'm reading them as fast as I can. She-Hulk 10, I thought, had a great perspective here, saying Call of Duty will have to replace a broken Halo series. 343 Studios dropped the ball on Halo.
Yeah.
You know, I have been hearing a lot of not great stuff out of Halo, like the whole split screen mode ended up getting canceled, and just like they're not.
But you can glitch it back into the game somehow.
Yeah. The roadmap and the direction that Halo Reach has been going, not where they hoped that would be. That's
Halo
for sure.
Infinite.
So that is very interesting. What She-Hulk brings up, though, is that maybe Microsoft needs a shooter to fill a gap that their current shooter is not filling for people. Very interesting. So,
yeah.
All right. Anyhow, let's move on and talk about more news. We were talking about conventions earlier in the show, and there's another one that was scheduled to come up in January. It's Awesome Games Done Quick, but it will no longer be happening in person. It was going to be happening in Florida, but they announced this week that Games Done Quick, the 2023 Awesome Games Done Quick event, will be online. It's going to be virtual again, January 8th through the 15th. But here's the interesting thing. They already had one of these in person, so it isn't COVID directly that's responsible for the reason why they're shifting this online. However, there's a couple reasons why they're shifting this online. The organizers want to return in person, but in order to, quote, provide a safe and welcoming event to all, they need to move away from their planned location in Florida. In the statement, they said, given the state's continued disregard for COVID-19's dangers, including anti-mandate policies, and an increased aggression towards LGBTQ individuals, including the law colloquially known as Don't Say Gay, we do not believe it is a safe place for our community. That is taking quite a stand on both those fronts. We know that Florida has not exactly been the most COVID precaution encouraging state. While I believe they could have a mask mandate in Florida still on private property at the hotel, if the hotel and the convention could reach that agreement like they did in Minnesota for that event they just had over the summer, I believe they cannot, per Florida law, mandate vaccination. And I noticed they didn't call out masks in what they said. They said including anti-mandate policies. So they can't mandate that everybody has to be vaccinated, and therefore they're not willing to put people at risk. So that's, you know what? It's about time Florida paid a price for some of these things that they keep. You know, it just sucks that it's a charity event, but the charity's still going to make money in the online form. The charity, I don't think, will lose anything out of this. And, you know, we're going to get more speedruns submitted from around the world because more people will be able to participate. More people will be able to participate virtually. So I think that end of it. In fact, even when they did do it in person, it was kind of cool that they still had some stuff that was virtual, so they could really get the best of both worlds. I think that's the marathon a lot of us would like to see, because in person you get the in-person reactions, the in-person memes. Like, there's a lot of guys. I'm not saying it should always be online. I love having a little bit of both, but I have to applaud Games Done Quick for taking a stand. And even though they really try not to be politically motivated or whatever, because, you know, people have their opinions all over the spectrum and what have you, the reality is LGBTQ people, there's a lot of them that volunteer and work with Games Done Quick. And Florida doesn't really feel like a safe space for folks right now. So I understand why they did it. The charity will still have, it will still make money. The event will still happen. It'll be online. We'll miss the live reaction stuff and so forth. But this is what they had to do to get out of the
contract. It'll be fine.
Actually, they can't get out of the contract, but it's the easiest way to remedy the situation. We'll leave it at that.
Right. And it should be fine. Like, it was fine the years that they had to do it online anyways. It wasn't like it was a worse event. It was just different.
Mm-hmm. So, that is going to be in January of 2022. Bobby in chat is pointing out they are risking bankruptcy by doing this. Good point, because even though it is a charity organization, they are still an organization that has an income and an outgoing funds and all that stuff, because they run their channel throughout the year that isn't necessarily a charity fundraiser. It helps them fund these different events and so forth. So it is a company that puts on charity events. There's kind of a different sort of thing to it. So they could go bankrupt from this whole thing. But I think it would be a really ugly look if the hotel sues this organization into oblivion. It is what it is. We'll see what happens. I realize business isn't always nice or about the right thing. So we'll see what happens. I wonder if, and Bobby, I have no idea if you know this or not, are they still sending because I know when they still do the virtual ones, they send a skeleton crew to the site as basically the base of operations. So technically, aren't they still for seeing their contract through by sending people to that hotel as the base of operation? Of course, I'm assuming they're still doing that. Maybe they're not even going to do that because of the They do it from the Virginia office, says Bobby. They don't go to the site. They do it out of Virginia. All right, then. That answers that. I thought they went to the hotel and still did it there. All right, then. All right. Let's move on with some more stories. Loki, what do you have for us?
Yes, so apparently Twitch is permanently removing its host mode on October 3rd. So apparently the hosting command and auto host features will be gone, which is really stupid.
I'm not a fan.
They announced their change in an update to their how to host or how to use host mode page, saying that the experience it delivers doesn't match their expectations when they come to Twitch. I don't understand why you would remove it. Like, I don't see what the gain is from doing that.
I understand that there is confusion between hosting and rating and that whole thing, and it causes a little bit of, like, you know, confusion issues for especially for a newer streamer. What do I do? What's better? And so forth. But I think one of the big problems on Twitch that everybody complains about is discoverability. And what's very interesting, especially, you know, having sat on a few panels and heard a lot of perspectives from this on the digital media track at DragonCon this last week, it sounds like a platform that does discoverability very well is actually TikTok. And I even think about my own experiences with TikTok where I posted a random video that wasn't even funny. I have something like 750 views with no promotion. So the discoverability on algorithm on TikTok is pretty darn good. The discoverability on Twitch, not the greatest. Usually the people that are on the front page are already partners, and it ends up being a rich get richer type of situation. So where hosting was good was that if I'm not live, I could promote a channel in my place, basically on the main page in a little place that says hosting or, you know, channels being hosted right now. And something to keep in mind that I think even Twitch forgets sometimes is there's a lot of us who still watch on PlayStation, on Xbox, and so forth. And there's a whole little bar that shows the channels that are being hosted right now. And I do look through that when none of my friends are live, or honestly, none of my friends are playing anything I really want to see. I'll go look through the hosting and see, well, what's being hosted that might be interesting to look at. So I think where this is frustrating people is that they're taking discoverability away. That's what's happening. And although Twitch tries to say that, well, rating can take its place and so forth, I disagree, because rating isn't something that's always there. Like, for instance, for us here at VOG Network, we used to say at the end of the show, hey, put us on your auto host list, because there's a lot of you that probably aren't live Sunday night, but by hosting us, then we'll show up as a recommended thing on your friends' pages as something to check out. That's why hosting is great. Rating doesn't do any of that. So there is a clear difference between those two things. Rating is a one-time thing. Hosting is something that was kind of always there. So I think that's why it's very frustrating that we're losing it. Now, if Twitch were to turn around and say, here's some discoverability we're going to put in its place, I think it would soften the blow a lot better.
Yeah, what their suggestions are is just give them a shout out to help them gain some followers. Send your viewers to their channel at the end of your stream. Suggest channels for viewers to viewers when you're offline.
Yeah.
Like, that was, we could already do that. Yeah. It's just, I don't know.
I agree. Now, if only Twitch had something very large planned for about the time that this feature is sunsetting to announce something new to enhance discoverability for our friends. If only they had a large convention with a keynote speech where they could announce something that could really soften this blow a bit. Fingers and toes crossed.
Their reasoning for it, they said that when viewers want to interact with the streamer when they're live and host mode blocks this from happening.
Hmm.
Preventing viewers from interacting with the streamer they are watching also limits the streamer's growth potential. Okay, well then don't do that. Like, make it so that it auto, like, it kind of think of it instead of an auto host, it's a forwarder type of thing.
You know what's in, you know, and it's like, I do agree with you, Loki, but you know what's interesting? I've got an interesting use case for you for why it should be separate sometimes. And that is what we do here at VOG Network for large events, and we're going to lose this because of this. So for example, when a Microsoft keynote is going on, if we're having to work or something and Bobby and myself or you, Jamie, whoever is unavailable to do a simulcast, which we could still do, we would usually host it and have our own chat that is a lot less shit posted than the large chat that's happening during a Microsoft or PlayStation event. It's just us in a chat watching the same event. We could really benefit from that. And many people in chat are referencing that right now. Although Bobby is also stating the reality. I could honestly count on one hand how many people participated. Yes, that is the honest, you know, truth there. And we can still simulcast them as our schedules permit, you know, and we can work with our day job.
The auto host will be changed to suggested channels in your channel settings. I don't know what that necessarily means.
Well, I'll be curious to see what that looks like and how that might help lead to discovery, because maybe that won't be as bad as we think. So we'll see. We'll have to see what that looks like in practice. So, yeah. All right. Let's move on. We're going to go to a classic segment that we do here on this show. Even though Dark Sakura is not here tonight, we always have a plan B. So let's get to our next segment.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
All right, and Dark Soccer is not here tonight, so I'm doing this segment instead tonight. But I did pull a page out of Dark Soccer's book, and I picked a game that is 10 years old in this last month. And this is one you're probably going to be surprised. Rock Band Blitz is the classic game of the week, which was originally released on the PlayStation 3 August 28th, 2012, or on the Xbox 360 August 29th of 2012. That's right. This game just barely qualifies as it just turned 10 years old a couple of weeks ago. And usually that's where we draw the line, is that a classic game of the week needs to be about 10 years old. And Mike Deft in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I miss this game. Me too. When I saw that this was on the list, because, you know, I went over and I was like, what games, you know, turned 10 recently? And I saw this and I was like, no way, not this game. I loved this game. In some ways, I like this game even more than the Rock Band games, because you didn't need the plastic instruments to play it. Let's talk a little bit about Rock Band Blitz. Those of you that are watching live can see the footage here. Those of you on the podcast, I'll tell you a little bit about it and what we're seeing on the screen here. So this was a game that was released by Harmonix in 2012, as I mentioned. It was only an online title, so it was not something you could get retail. It did not come with plastic instruments. It was meant to be played with a controller. The gameplay mechanics were similar to other Harmonix titles that had been released prior, including Frequency, Amplitude, and Rock Band Unplugged, which I believe was the Vita, no, the PSP, I think that one was on. 25 songs came with the game, and the big clincher with this, songs from any other version of the game that were exported or downloaded as DLC or anything like that, you could use all of it. So that was what made this game awesome, is that you probably had, thanks to Rock Band, you had a library of tons of songs all ready to go with this. But here's the bummer about this game. And I'm not sure, somebody who follows the wiki or either Dark Sakura herself may know better. I don't know if we've had a game that we've spotlit that you can literally no longer play today. I mean, I guess, well, I say that, but if you have it on your 360 now, nobody uninstalled it for your 360. But if you've never played this game before, there's no way for you to get it. It was delisted on August 28th, 2017. So 5 years ago, it was removed. So on the 5-year anniversary, the game was removed, and that was due to the music license expirations. So we have an interesting classic game where it's like, if you don't have this game, there is no way for you to get it. You're going to have to find a friend that still has it on their 360 or PlayStation, something else. Oh, Dark Sakura suggests PT. She may have done at some point, and that would be in a similar boat. Oh, perhaps. Yeah, I guess that is a very similar boat where it was also delisted. So there is that. So anyway, Rock Band Blitz. It's a note matching rhythm game. Again, it's very similar in design to Frequency, Amplitude, Rock Band Unplugged. You have 5 lanes that match lead guitar, bass guitar, drums, vocals, and keyboard. And they go through the different streets Oh, thanks, Orange, right? PT isn't 10 years old, so it couldn't have been done yet. It's getting close, though. All right, anyway. There's only a single difficulty level. I think that's interesting because the Rock Band games had different difficulty levels within the songs. You can customize the controls, but you use the buttons on the gamepad to basically hop between different lanes, and you score points for each note that you get. And once you get enough points in a lane, you basically capture the lane, and that lane autoplays for a portion of the song. When you build a blitz meter, you move faster along the tracks until you miss a few notes, and you get a scoring bonus during that time. Once you complete a song, you are rated on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, which is reflected of your total scores. And you're given both cred, which unlocks power-ups, it reflects on your long-term performance. You get overdrive power-ups from the cred. As you get white notes, it fills the overdrive meter. You can then activate the overdrive power-up, which is a 2x scoring multiplier, or you can have the computer play one note for, or one track for you for a period of time, or you can do a bottle rocket, which sends out a shock wave. An out of control car goes through the track, and it scores points for all the notes that are hit. You also have note-based power-ups where certain notes are marked purple, and while you hit the notes, you do the effects of that power-up. For example, you can explode all notes on nearby tracks for points. You can create a pinball that while it hits different notes and you keep it in play, it will score points. That's pretty cool. And a sprite that moves between tracks that you try to catch to earn points. And then lastly, there are track-based power-ups. They're either active on different tracks during the song that double the point values of a particular track, or it's activated when you switch a track or whatever. So there's all these different things to do it. Also, there was a Facebook application for this, Rock Band World, that could actually track online scoreboards, so that way you can compete with friends even between Xbox and PlayStation platforms. You also, because it's all about the sales, would get recommended DLC through what your friends are playing and so forth. So, the development of this game, it was a departure from past Rock Band titles. Project director Matthew Nordhaus referred to it saying, instead of having the focus on musical authenticity and a performance simulation, this is an arcade game. It's fast, loud, silly, and a little over the top. The game was originally called Synchrony, but then they changed it to Rock Band Blitz, and because one of the power-ups was called a Blitz, and that's, I guess, what they got it from. They did experiment with some other mechanics, like having 3 notes per lane, because I believe there's only 2 in what was originally, or what ended up being set up. Could you use analog controls for vocal tracks, and so forth. So, but they kind of threw these out, and we got what we got. They did experiment with instrument controls, but ultimately found there was no easy way to include them in the title, and they realized this was going to be a single-player game, but this is why they went to social elements like the Facebook platform to kind of get that simulation of playing and challenging other people. They launched Blitz with the Rock Band World Facebook application, and then, again, it allowed you to compare your progress and so forth. So the game was originally premiered at the 2012 Penny Arcade Expo East Convention. I think that was one that I went to, actually. And it was shown to members of the press during the Game Developers Conference in 2012. At the end, Harmonix did say they would remove Blitz from PlayStation and Xbox Live due to the expiration of music licensing agreements. They do not have plans to make the games backwards compatible, again, probably because of those same licensing issues. And this game is not backwards compatible on either Xbox or PlayStation platform at this time. And I don't know if it ever will be due to the music issues. So I would go over the list, but there's a lot of songs in the list here. So I'll just call out a few favorites. You know, I love me some Kelly Clarkson. So Stronger was one of the songs that was in the game. Raise Your Glass by Pink. Moves Like Jagger, which was all over the radio by Maroon 5, was in the game as well. And how about a Queen song? Because we love Queen. So Death on Two Legs was in the game as well. But that's just really just a small portion of the list. Rock Band Blitz got generally a positive reception, including a 77 on Metacritic and a 76.9 on Game Rankings, if you care about that sort of stuff. It was praised for the core gameplay and the leaderboards. But there was a criticism that it didn't really draw solo players, that if you're not into high scores, there wasn't as much of a reason to do it. It was called out that social hooks could have been better implemented. But if you have a large library of Rock Band tracks, hey, you're going to have a lot here for you. So, that's pretty much all I have to say about it. I spent a lot of hours on this game. I really like this game. I think it really stinks that we don't have a backwards compatible version of this game. I wish they would release just the player for those of us that still have a large library of Rock Band tracks, maybe take out the music. I understand why it's one of those things that's easier said than done. I just, you know, I thought this game was great and I really would love to see Harmonix visited again sometime, even if I didn't love the Amplitude reboot that came after this, but that's another story. So there it is, your classic game of the week, Rock Band Blitz. Did you ever play Rock Band Blitz, Loki?
I did when it first came out, but yeah, not very much.
Yeah.
I think I just downloaded it because, you know, I played my full library of Rock Band songs and I had a ton of songs, so it made sense.
Yeah.
Was it the opposite too? Because I know like with a lot of those games, you can kind of move them between different games. Like I know with like Rock Band 2, you can import like Lego Rock Band and stuff like that, all those songs.
And Mike Def points out you could also export the Rock Band Blitz songs and play them in the real Rock Band, you know, the mainline, I guess, or whatever franchise as well.
That's what was worth it for a lot of those. Like I remember, what was it? I think it was like a Rock Band that had like Eye of the Tiger or something like that. There was like one of those, like, I got to get those songs.
Oh, it was like Lego Rock Band had a
good list. So like it was worth like just purchasing the game, because I think it was like super cheap at one point just to get the licensed songs so you can play them in like regular Rock Band. So it's pretty cool.
All right. We really just have a few more stories for you. I know that might seem kind of like a surprise, but there wasn't quite as much gaming news this week with the Labor Day holiday and, you know, everything else going on. And B, I knew I probably wasn't going to last a full 3 hours tonight, so we don't have quite as many stories slotted tonight. But I will encourage you, if you do want to call into the show, you can join our green room over at vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. Dark Sakura is not here tonight, but for those that are watching live on Twitch, Bobby Blackwolf's going to stream after the show tonight. I believe, unless I am corrected shortly, he's going to be continuing his adventures in that Disney Dreamlight game, so y'all can see a little more about what that is all about. That is a pretty cool little game to see, so you can check that out after the stream here for those of you that are watching live. All right, so we're being crashed on right now. Let me change the shot up here, hold on.
No, don't do it.
Oh, okay, well, what's up?
I'm not turning on my camera, I just came in to say hi.
Well, hi, what's on your mind, Dark Sakura? Hi, good to hear from you.
I miss speaking. I miss screaming obscenities.
Uh-huh.
And I want tacos.
did you play any games this week that you want to share with us or something?
Oh yeah.
Yeah? Like
so
what?
I played some Dead by Daylight. I didn't stream it except for a couple of days I did and I regretted it because I lost my voice. But I've played with Nick and Prince for a couple of times, and played with Gwyn as Finara.
Mm-hmm.
And
you took my place on a stream the other night.
Well, I didn't realize that you were already playing when I reached out before. So
yeah, no, it's fine, but because I wasn't quite over COVID, so I was really, and I'm still not really, but like it was one of those, I could maybe do this for like 90 minutes and then dinner was coming in anyway. So it was like, all right, I'm leaving. And then I left to go eat dinner. When I came back, I was like, oh, Jamie took my place. That's cute. I love that. So, but it looks like you guys had fun.
I also had wanted to play with Tay and Blaxican for a while.
So. Oh yeah. They're so much fun. I love that group.
They are a trip, the both of them.
Yeah.
And they were increasingly drunk by the end of
as is typical for Friday night streams, yeah.
Right. But man though, the state of DBD right now is stinkier and stinkier and stinkier.
And Weskerier. And Weskerier.
Now, it's just like the camping has gotten worse.
It sure has.
It is no buena.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as like, I still have a lot of fun, but I'm waiting until rank reset to try Wesker because I adapted Ada and Rebecca first day. I'm actually playing, I played Shiva today because she still had like, like a couple of cakes and some stuff on her. On from playing Claire. And she's quiet.
I swear that this game right now is just Resident Evil meets Dead by Daylight. Like, it's all Resident Evil, which is, but everybody, like Shiva, everybody from Resident Evil is so hot.
I'm going to go on record, though, and say I don't think Carlos looks good. His hair is a hot mess.
I don't know. I kind of like a guy with messy hair.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's messy. I'm saying it's poorly rendered. The same thing with all of the Attack on Titan hair, most of the Attack on Titan hairs, and also most of Yui's. Her new ones.
My imagination fills in the imperfections.
And my brain goes into design nerd stuff, so but at any rate, I have been playing Cult of the Lamb. That's like my Monday thing, and of course that'll be a silent stream for me, because I have been on an almost vow of silence unwillingly. I get to participate in real life again by hopefully Thursday, if I'm not put on prednisone.
Well, good luck with all of that, and I hope. I mean, you're sounding fine now, but I know it's only in small doses, so it's hard to keep up for a long time.
My voice is already cracking. So,
yeah. Well, then,
hi. This is what I sound like as a 13-year-old boy.
Well, then let me just quickly ask you, what did you think of the classic game of the week tonight? I did a good job, right? Okay, good. All right, excellent.
All right. I also want chocolate, so I'm going to go Instacart it.
All right, sounds good. Any last words for our listeners tonight before I let you go?
I want everyone to join my cult.
Of the Lamb?
My Cult of the Lamb. We already had DT finally died.
Did I die?
Yes, but I think that we had a funeral for you and for DT, I think.
Oh, that's so nice.
You died of old age, and then I sacrificed somebody else.
All right, Dark Sakura. Well, enjoy further Cult of the Lamb. Good luck with everything, and we hope to have you back next week.
Later, taters.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Let's get into some rapid fire news. We just have a couple stories for you, and we'll start with Loki.
Yep. So this is kind of cool, and basically, you may remember there's been a few games that they've done this where they've reverse engineered, hobbyists have reverse engineered a certain Nintendo games. Not even necessarily just Nintendo, because I remember they did that with I think it was like Vice City or something like that for PlayStation. But anyways, so now they have reverse engineered the Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, and they have ported it to PC. So it's running natively on PC now. This is thanks to a GitHub user, SnesRev, who has put together the code to do that. Now, of course, you have to have a legally obtained version of the ROM available, and then using some Python scripts, you can convert it into an executable for the PC. It runs all right now. It's like running, but they don't have like all of the fancy features like upscaling or full screen remappable controls and that type of stuff yet, but it's being worked on until it gets shut down by Nintendo. So go download it while you can.
All right, I have one quick story for you also out of the D23 Expo, and that is that a new Tron game is coming, and this caught my attention.
All right.
It is a game called Tron Identity, but it might not be what you think, because this game is apparently going to be more of a visual novel. It's not going to feature anybody from the movies, so it's just kind of set in the Tron universe, but I'm actually like totally okay with that. I actually like that idea of trying to establish things that are independent from the movies, because I like the movies have been in development hell for, we all have heard that there's that mysterious third movie they're talking about making that Jared Leto may or may not be involved with, and I hope it's not. But regardless, the Tron legacy was 2010. It's been 12 years since that movie. So like if a sequel is going to happen, you would hope it would happen sooner rather than later. Of course, it took, 28 years the first time? So Oh, so anyway, I like that Disney is trying to establish some Tron things that are outside of the movie universe so that maybe Tron can continue. And I'm still jazzed that they are opening a ride. I think they showed test footage of the ride today. I think they said it's going to be early next year. I'd love
was
to go to
something like I was seeing because there is a few people on YouTube that I follow that do like the park, you know, like the POV park ride stuff.
Yeah.
Someone was saying like the people movers are coming back because that's exciting news.
That
if that's the
is
case.
A huge rumor right now is that people movers are coming back. Yeah,
I hope so. I love it.
Yeah,
movers.
I would love to see that too. But anyway, Tron Identity is a game that is coming out in 2023, and it is a visual novel and puzzle game. It's being developed by Mike Bethel, who made Thomas Was Alone, so that's a pretty big resume item, and The Solitaire Conspiracy. In the game, you will follow Query, a detective program that is keeping the peace on an all-new grid. Query is tasked with unraveling a break-in and theft that occurred. You will advance the story by defragging other programs' identity disk. So once you defrag the disk, you get to the path that shows the solution for the unique puzzles. It should be noted, this is, and what's interesting, this article I'm looking at says that Tron is the first Disney Tron game for PC or console since Tron 2.0. That is incorrect. In 2004, there was a Tron Runner game that came out. And I think that was the name of it was Tron Run R. Yeah. So, how about that? Way to do your job, gaming journalist. No, I'm just giving them shit. There was that Tron Run R game that was out. I want to say that was around 20. It was a few years after the movie. I want to say 2015, 2016. So it's been a little bit, but yeah. This is completely neglecting the Tron Legacy Xbox 360 and maybe that one wasn't on PC, but I think it was. So they neglected that one too. It was, I think it was called just Tron Legacy, but it was like a tie-in game that was on like the 360 and PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
That was more of a traditional adventure game. So
it's Tron Evolution.
Tron Evolution. Thank you. Okay, that's what it was. So there have been other Tron games, just so you know. All right. That's it for our rapid fire news. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. Loki, do me a solid and do US and UK back to back if you can. I have to take a restroom emergency. I'm sorry. I'll be back. Okay.
And they did have a PC version of Tron Evolution, so I don't really know what they're talking about.
They just didn't research enough.
What? Anyways, so we have quite a few things coming out this week. We have Freedom Planet 2 on PC. Isonzo? That's a weird name. PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. Little Orpheus on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. SCP Secret Files. They're finally getting an official game for that. That's on PC. Sunday Gold on PC as well. Voice of Cards, The Beasts of Burden on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. 13 is getting a Nintendo Switch release. Bear and Breakfast on Nintendo Switch as well. That game looks so cute. Blind Fate Ito no Yami on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Despot's Game on PC, Mac, and Linux, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Dragon Quest X Offline. fun name for that. That's on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Dungeons 3 on Nintendo Switch. Fairy Fencer F Refrain Chord on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Fault STP Light Gravity. I have no idea how you pronounce that. That's on Nintendo Switch. Metal Hellsinger on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. The Outer Wilds coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series. SBK22 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. And last but not least, Trinity Trigger on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Then in the UK, we've got, looks like, Isonzo Deluxe Edition. And I guess that's a World War One game. That's out on PlayStation and Xbox. 13 also coming out on PlayStation, Xbox, and the Switch. The Alfred Hitchcock Vertigo on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Recompile on PlayStation. Let's see, Dungeons 3 on Nintendo Switch. And then this is probably my favorite one for the week here. Yuppie Psycho Executive Edition on PlayStation and Nintendo Switch.
What the hell is that? That sounds incredible.
It looks like a visual novel, probably.
Oh, of course.
Some Japanese game. And then Undernaut's Labyrinth of Yomi on the PlayStation. We have Arcadegeddon on PlayStation and Xbox. Fell Seal, Arbiter's Mark on PlayStation, Switch, and PC. And that's it.
All right. Was that the UK and US?
That was UK and US.
All right. Let's go to Japan. And the big release this week in Japan, I think, on the Nintendo Switch this week is Dragon Quest X Offline. So this was announced a little while ago where this is, you know, the version of Dragon Quest X where you don't have to pay to do an MMO anymore. I hope this gets localized for the U.S. because we never got to play Dragon Quest X in any capacity. So we'll see. A regular and deluxe edition are bound for Japan on the 15th. We also have on the Switch Fairy Fencer F Refrain Chord comes out. Trinity Trigger is also out. And that is it for the Switch. If we go over to the PlayStation 5, Dragon Quest X Offline is also released on the PlayStation on the PlayStation 5. Fairy Fencer F and Trinity Trigger also. So I guess those are your big games. But there's one more on the PlayStation 5, and that is Japan's release of Destroy All Humans 2, the Reprobed Edition. Also in Japan this week, you can pick up a PlayStation 5 Horizon Forbidden West bundle that is out in a regular and the digital edition of PS5. So that is the version of the that... I guess just comes included with the game or something. I guess the PlayStation itself doesn't look any different. So, okay. Yeah. That's weird. All right. I'm trying to see if maybe there's like a subtle engraving or something on it. Cause when I saw it, I assumed it was a limited release console, but I guess not. All righty then. All right. Let's move on with a couple more stories. Loki.
Yeah, so GameStop has been accused of wiretapping customers. And this is, it's not as crazy as it sounds. So basically, this what it is, they are not complying with the California's Invasion of Privacy Act, which they can't, basically, website operators can't create transcripts of visitors' conversations. And this is happening in their support chat. Is what's happening. They're saying that apparently the company is taking secret transcripts of those wiretaps and they're sharing them with a third party that helps them boost its ability to harvest personal data. But anyways, so they do have a lawsuit though. That's basically saying that, you know, the compliance with SIPA is easy. And the vast majority of companies comply with the law by simply notifying website visitors if their conversations are being recorded. So you know how you hear those messages whenever you call an 800 number or something like that.
Yeah.
That they're recorded for, you know,
quality
training purposes.
Which is, you know, because I did work in a call center for a very long time many years ago, and they, you know, we would play the calls in training class. Absolutely. That was something that we would do to learn from them and so forth. But also, yeah, calls get randomly audited. That's how companies make sure, because they, I don't know how much I should say. Well, I don't work there anymore, and it's been a long time. But yeah. they found out that some of the people working were hanging up on customers, and they can only do that through the audit process. So it's an important part to keep the integrity of what's going on.
In this case, they're saying that that GameStop is allowing Zendesk to intercept and use the transcripts from these. Well, Zendesk is apparently a ticketing system. So I don't know how malicious it is that they're doing that, but at the very least, they should probably be complying with the SIPA Act in order to, not get in hot water for this stuff. But, it seems benign to me. It's not we're capturing all this data and we're selling it to, advertisers and we're going to figure it out. No, I think it seems a little litigious, but we'll see if anything comes of this. I doubt it.
All right. Let's move on into one more story for the night. And it's a sad one. We lost a gaming great this last week. I think this is actually the week we were out, but I'm going to mention it anyway. On August 30th, the president of Miracle Kids, Mitsuhiro Yoshida, passed away suddenly. Although you may not be familiar with Miracle Kids with a Z, you would know Mitsuhiro Yoshida as one of the people that was on the team at Technos Japan, who created the series like River City Ransom, Super Dodgeball, and Nintendo World Cup. These were all part of the Kunio-kun series. And I believe there's even a compilation of Kunio-kun games that came out just within the past couple years. Miracle Kids was made up largely of former staff there, and they even continued to produce titles in the Kunio-kun series. Most of these are now owned by Arc System Works. So in a statement that was posted to Twitter, Mitsuhiro Yoshida, president of Miracle Kids and one of the key creative figures behind classic Kunio-kun titles, including NES Super Dodgeball and River City Ransom, passed away on August 30th suddenly. But that's all they said was suddenly. They didn't give any more details. But still, what a terrible loss for the industry. Unfortunately, the stories of loss do not end there. I would need to say something as well about a very well-known video game journalist who also passed away while we were out on this last week, and that was Mike Fahey, who was with Kotaku.
Oh, wow.
And say what you... Oh, you didn't hear about this?
No, I haven't heard about
that. Oh, well, you've been very busy paying attention to other things. No, Mike Fahey passed away at 49. He passed away on Friday, and he was having some medical problems over the past couple of years. So he had an aortic dissection in 2018. That is where the body kind of tear your main artery and it left him paralyzed, and he was using a wheelchair. He had another one of these tears in April, and a subsequent infection, unfortunately, was the cause of death. So it's very, very tragic. Say what you will about Kotaku over the years, and we've said plenty, but Mike Fahey definitely seemed like he was always one of the good guys. And, there's not a lot. I did not have a lot of interactions with him, so I can't say a lot. However, I know our pal Bobby Blackwolf, who we work with here at Vogue, was also in the Atlanta area where Mike Fahey was, and has a lot more to say on his show this week and gives a much better tribute. So I would encourage you to listen to that show. But gaming journalism of a certain area was absolutely in part shaped by Mike Fahey. So that's a huge loss as well. So SG100 Matt wants to point out Kotaku had a very nice write-up with stories from various people in the industry.
I just saw that.
Yeah. Dartusia says, yeah, I didn't know him, but damn if I didn't see his articles on Kotaku. And Mike Def says Mike Fahey was one of the few people at Kotaku that was worth reading. So that's a very unfortunate loss as well in the industry this week. So, all right. Well, with that, I'm going to try to move into our listener roundtable and invite your calls over at the green room over at twitch.tv/Vogue. I'm sorry, that's how to watch our show live. VogueNetwork.com/Discord is where you can tune in and join our green room. And I see somebody's already jumping on the opportunity. So let's get to it. Well, hello. You're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's the one and only Ranma. How is everybody doing tonight?
Fabulous. How are you? It's so good to hear from you. It's been a minute.
I'm doing good. You know, Labor Day.
Good.
I try. I discovered something called the Rob Roberts diet. It's kind of similar to, you know, to the Richard Simmons diet. It's been kind of working. It's been kind of helping, you know?
Oh, excellent. So like more walking, playing Pikmin and that sort of thing?
It's more walking and drinking a lot more water.
No, it's good. Water's good. And I love Richard Simmons. I take that as an ultimate compliment. He's an amazing human being. I could do an entire 3-hour talk on how Richard Simmons is completely underappreciated and a gift we don't deserve. But anyway, I'll save that for another day. What's on your mind? You didn't call in to talk about Richard Simmons. What do you want to talk about?
Well, things, but before I continue, I do want to say, Loki, my deepest condolences. I understand what you're going through, and we got you, bro.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Secondly, I kind of want to tag along to something what Bobby Blackwell said about games done quick. Let's say for the sake of it, they sent like a skeleton team to the venue just for the sake of it. Now, upon top of the fact that the company will have to pay cancellation fees from the venue, there's additional fees for the rooms, because sometimes when you get these venues, you gotta promise that you're gonna fill X amount of rooms, and if you don't fill them, you basically paying like maybe up to $100 to $150 per room. Yeah. A con that I was voluntold at that happened its first year, and it was kind of surprising they were able to bounce back with a year or two. So.
That's I actually have known that from something else I'm working with on the side. The room guarantees and all that to get the rates and all that. Yep, that is very true, and that's something Games Done Quick is going to have to figure out. They're probably going to have to pay it and figure it out from their list viewership, and maybe have to have some fundraisers, because you know they have their channel. They run that channel most of the time. And it's not always for charity. So they might run their own kind of fundraisers to sort of, you know, fundraise
sure
to run the fundraiser.
They need funds to like cover that stuff so they don't go bankrupt. I'm sure people would be more than willing to jump in.
I'm sure they will.
Well, that happened to MAGFest a couple of years back. They canceled MAGFest, paid off the cancellation fees, and had a telethon made the money back.
Yeah. So I'm sure Games Done Quick could do the same easy.
And last thing, there was something else, but I totally forgot, but that's just how my memory is, because I have the retention of a goldfish sometimes. But I kind of want to jump back to what you were talking about, Dragon Con and the conventions and so forth. You know, there are times when I have to deal with people like that in my own circles. I just want to just shake them. If not shake them, slap some sense into them. What people don't understand is that if a con cancels, they got to pay all these fees out, and sometimes they don't have to, depending on, you know, the local ordinances about COVID and so forth. And once we get past that, you have cons that are like, okay, we're gonna do our thing, but you got to follow these rules. You have to mask up and all this and so forth. And there are people that will push back. And I remember one of my favorite conventions, I was actually getting into a pissing fight with somebody over this, and the people that run the convention messaged me begging me to stop and walk away. This one person was demanding that the con go on. She didn't care about wearing a mask because she said she was dying anyway. She just wanted to have a good time. And I'm just like, who hurt you? You know?
That's why I don't fault Dragon Con or any con for what happened. Number one, I knew what situation I was walking into. Number two, my understanding is they tried, and what happened is that people were basically fighting with them. Those are the people that I blame. Like,
but Rob, let me say this. You didn't walk into anything. You went in full well knowing what was going on, and you followed the protocols. Mm-hmm. So that's what you did. That's perfectly fine indeed. You do that not just for personal when you go out. You do this for work. I mean, they just said on the subways, you do not have to wear a mask.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
I wear a mask because you know what? I don't trust half these people out here. I'm just like, no. No. I know people who have caught COVID like 3-4 times, and it freaks me out. I'm just saying, I've been through a lot.
I rode the Atlanta subway on Tuesday while I was apparently now that I know hindsight, while I was contagious. Those folks should be thanking me for wearing a mask, honestly. So I don't need a medal or a treat. I had to do what I had to do to get home. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those, like, it's not hard to wear a mask.
It's common sense. And as I said before, COVID's one of those things that actually scares me, because I have actually known people who are on the brink of death and just bounced back from it. And I'm just like, you know, and next weekend I'm going to a con with somebody. She cannot be vaccinated due to her medical condition. And I got masks and everything. And I'm just like, and I'm just hoping that she'll be fine through this. And she already survived a round of COVID. So.
That is, yeah, but it's interesting. So you saying she's going to the con anyway, and I think there would be a lot of people out there that would like to tell her, don't do it, but right. You know, it's her decision. Mm-hmm. It's her decision, not yours. And that's what was making me angry earlier.
Right. But the thing is, she'll be wearing a mask. So there's that. Now it'd be a different story. Like, there are some conventions that are like, there are some cons where it's like, you must have your shots, you must have your booster, and you must show proof of a negative test like 24 hours before the con, you know. And there are people that argue that. And yes, there are those conventions that have that restrictive rules. It still happens. But I always argue, just wait. Just wait till everything is said and done. You count the numbers. Because of how strict they were, the numbers on that's going to be very low. And that's all that really matters. I mean, hell, I went to a con a year and a half ago and I refused to support them because they had a COVID scare. They actually put that someone may have tested positive in an email blast they sent out congratulating the winners of a raffle. They put that at the bottom. And then I found out the next day they posted it on their social medias. I was just absolutely freaked. Yes, it was a thin chance I caught it, but it's just how they handled the situation. Yeah. And then I found out one of my friends, who's a voice actor in the industry, mm-hmm. was a guest at that con, and they never told him.
Oh, wow. So that's, yeah. And I know you were saying that, like, the convention sort of, you know, had a responsibility to tell people and so forth. I also have to say that, Rama, like, I don't necessarily disagree. Like, at least it would have been in their best interest to at least put out a tweet that said, hey, we had a lot of people here this weekend. You know, you should follow these, you know, COVID things for safety, or you should get a test to know your status or whatever. Like, that would have been really nice. I think it would have been a good thing. However, it's also necessary to put some fucking accountability on the attendees. You went to a convention that was attended by thousands and thousands of people. If you don't think you were exposed to COVID, I don't know. There are some common sense things I don't know how to explain to people.
But also, there's a financial aspect of it. Like, some of the hotels don't want to push back because these people will cancel their rooms, and that's less money coming in that weekend. And given how the economy is, you know, you gotta take the hits where you can without being knocked out, which I do understand to a certain extent. I'm one of those. It's like, if I'm running the place, if that means y'all don't show up and I lose that type of money, that's fine. The liability has dropped a lot. At the end of the day, I will count my blessings, count the money, and see if we can do something next year. Or if I'm running the hotel, we see if we can continue to keep the people on staff to keep the hotel open, you know?
You're not wrong, but there is an important element of DragonCon you have to remember with those hotels. And that is that there is a lot going on in Atlanta on Labor Day. And even though I can't imagine being in that hotel and not being at DragonCon, there are people that go to those hotels that are staying there for the football games that are happening in town this weekend. And guess who the crowd is that doesn't want to wear the fucking mask around the hotel, and the hotel doesn't want to be the bad guy.
I know. There have been times where Otakon has happened, and right across from the BC, I mean, from the convention center, you have a bunch, you have Camden Yards. So those people are coming out, seeing us running around in fabrics, are like, who are those freaks? Mind you, we see them wearing sports attire and they're painted up, and we're like, who are those weirdos? You know?
Yeah. Well,
I'm just glad things are starting to get better. Not at the rate that it should be, but at least we're getting somewhere, you know?
At least the evolutions of the virus seem to be getting weaker. And that's, you know, we just have to hope it keeps going in that direction. Like I said earlier, this last week has not been pleasant. Do not let me try to make it sound like COVID was a pleasant experience the second time or any of that stuff. No, it sucked. You do not want this. However, swine flu was worse. Like I said, I remember one night when I had swine flu, I was like, this is it. This is the end. That, I mean, I laugh now, but it wasn't funny then. So it hasn't been as bad as that. But your mileage may vary.
Look, I got a friend who caught COVID back in December. It's been 9 months. She still has a lingering cough. So I'll say this, and I'm going to get out of here for tonight because I got to prep for work tomorrow and all of that. To paraphrase Chris Rock, you know, one day we get to the point where you run into your friend, you're like, how are you doing, man? Man, I don't know, man. Yo, I'm all right. Yo, my COVID's been acting up, but I tell you what, I took some Tussin last night and I'm feeling great. You know, I'm hoping we eventually get to that point where, you know, a little bit of Tussin to do it all.
Or something to put long COVID in check, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Take care, my friend. Thank you for calling. It's always good to hear from you.
No problem. Y'all take care and see you on the flip side.
All right. Bye-bye. Anime Jam Session. Listen to it. All right. If you want to give us a call, vognetwork.com, and you can join the green room, and we'll get to that. Vognetwork.com/Discord, that is. I didn't check with Loki to see if there's any last-minute stories.
Yes, there was a leak apparently, for Blizzard's new Overwatch 2 hero, Kiriko, I guess, who's going to be a support character, got accidentally leaked. It is mentioned in the, season one premium battle pass, or it's like the description for that, which I don't know if they've pulled that down or not, but they actually have like, I think video or screenshots of the hero who has cat ears. So, they're not too happy about that. And she's going to be a support character, I think. I don't remember if it is. Oh, she's a teleporting fox girl.
Sorry, I just realized I was muted while I was typing. That sounds like it could be fun. Everybody loves a cat girl and a fox girl, right?
Of course, yeah. They said it was uploaded to a Spanish, uploaded in Spanish. It was an animated short for the character, and it said with a still in progress render like tag on it. So it probably shouldn't have been leaked out.
Probably not. But hey, it could be like Street Fighter VI, and your entire roster could have already been leaked. So there is that.
Yeah,
things could always be a little worse, right?
Could be worse. Yeah.
All right. I want to see if we have any tweets. I know there was at least one I wanted to read because there was a follow up to something that had come up on a prior episode. So I'm looking at Twitter right now. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are lucky enough to have a 3-letter name. It's OLR on Twitter. You can't even get that anymore. OLR. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you sure can. And you can send us tweets throughout the week, such as a tweet that we got from. I'm having to scroll through some comments that I made on the Marvel game. Ah, here it is. Zeba had tweeted saying, here is the VOD of Cirque's production of Clue in Final Fantasy 14. They had some technical difficulties and the audio didn't record, so they manually put in the soundtrack. There's no in-game sounds. It's a bit weird, but it's still great. So that was a tweet from Zeba who sent us that. And I actually did. So it was them doing Clue, and it was the movie. They did it in Final Fantasy 14, and it was pretty neat. But you could see where the technical limitations kind of unfortunately got in the way a little bit, because they like characters would pop in and out because there were too many people that were in the zone. And so they weren't able. Yeah. It's so like characters would kind of like come and go and stuff like that. I'm actually trying to see if I can bring it up here on the other monitor for you all. Oops. We don't necessarily need to have the full music from the theme, but there you go. If you've never heard the music from Clue. Let me see. Actually, I really want to kill that because that's probably copyright music. Sorry about that. Let me go to the other screen here. And you can actually see. So here's the production. Let me make that fill the page there. So you can see there is. And so you can kind of see how it starts. But then when you really get into like what's happening throughout the event, like look at like all of these people here, and whoever's recording this has to get like right up next to the dinner table to see what's going on. And then in other places, I want to do the scenes where it's really cutting in and out. I think that was right, maybe more towards the beginning. Like you could just see how many people are in there, and it's kind of hard to see like, well, who's the character speaking and what's happening, and characters kind of pop in and out really fast. But I loved, if you actually read like what's going on with the script, they actually localize things to fit Eorza and the Final Fantasy universe. And I thought it was super cute, like what they were doing with that. So it was clever. And my honest suggestion would be, do a performance of this just for the VOD. Like I know that it's very attractive to do this in game and get people to the house and all this type of stuff, but do a performance for the VOD, like, you know, and that whole thing, and really show off, you know, the talent that goes into it without the technical problems of having people, you know, show up and stuff. And some comments from chat. So SJ100 Matt says dinner theater, Final Fantasy style. And Dr. Tsuya says, wow, that's great. Yeah. Like it's really clever and cool and unique. And this is one of those spontaneous things that happens in MMOs that I love. But just some of the technical issues of the game aren't really prepared for it. And that's a bummer. All right. Well, with that, that was it for the tweets tonight. And we did not get any emails at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, but I will invite you to send some for next week. So again, that's participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email. I think that's going to do it for the show. My voice is about done with tonight as well. So I think we're going to wrap up. But let's go around and get final thoughts and stuff. Before that, I will say thank you as always for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard here, please tell a friend about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. And in order to get those voices out on air, we need more people here. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you found this podcast, that all goes an awful long way. Super appreciate that. Before I get to my final thought, I have to make sure we say this at some point as well. I know we've had a lot of bummer news tonight and things in our lives that we're dealing with and so forth. But on a somewhat more positive note, I should note the date is September 11th. And no, I'm not referring to historical events in a whimsic way. That would be tacky. I am referring to the fact that September 11th happens to be Loki's birthday.
It does.
Happy birthday, Loki.
Thank you.
Did you get to do anything for your day in spite of everything that's going on?
I did nothing, and it was everything I thought it would be.
Is that a good thing? Because sometimes doing nothing for your birthday is a good thing.
No, I just worked on my my build for my next episode still.
Well, you had a productive day then. That's good.
Yep, that's so. What I've been trying to do. I have to go back to work tomorrow.
Mm.
Which I don't want to do, but I did want to mention though that I will be. I think Channel 64 is doing their next stream weekend on Saturday.
Oh, great!
So I may be participating in that as well. So just stay tuned to Twitter or my YouTube channel. Probably we'll have the schedule for that.
Well, the least you could do for Loki's birthday, everybody, is follow him on his YouTube and his Twitch and his socials. So check
yes,
that out.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're not already. Every right. little bit helps.
Loki OLR, right?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Now that I finally got that out of my system, I meant to say it earlier, but you know, we got in a debate about something else. So I want to make sure we got that happy birthday out though. It is important. So do you have any final thoughts for our folks tonight, Loki?
Nope, just I can't wait for the next episode to be done. It will hopefully be done this weekend, but that's a lot of building I gotta do. It's really big.
All right.
But yeah, it's really cool. I can't wait for you to see it.
And I don't have a lot to say here either. Just, you know, I've said a lot earlier in the show. I hope to get back into streaming on my own this week. You know, I usually leave Dragon Con so motivated to stream again from all the panels and things that I did. So it really sucks that COVID kind of put the brakes on that. Cause I would have been right back into it this week, but it didn't happen. But I am hoping I'm getting better enough, especially from doing this show tonight. And hopefully that continues tomorrow. Although my number one onus right now needs to be taking care of Alan and making sure he has all his needs met. But assuming that is all taken care of, I will stream tomorrow. I want to make sure I do that and kind of get back in the habit of that. I have no idea what I'm going to play yet, but I'll play something. So yeah.
Oh, real quick, I did want to mention, since we didn't cover it before, for the live folks who are watching on Twitch, the game behind me is called One Dreamer. It's a game that came out this week, and it's like a, I think it's a point and click adventure game, sort of, where you do coding in it as well. I played the demo a while back, and it was pretty awesome. I'm hoping to get a chance to play this, the full game, but apparently I think it was made by a single person over the course of 7 years. So it's just, it's about kind of, I haven't played it all the way, but I think it's supposed to be about, and it's probably going to ring true a little bit to me, about like indie game devs and like these projects that they kind of set aside for a long time and going back to like finish them type of thing. So I think that that's some of it, but yeah, it's pretty cool. You should go check it out.
Sounds like it might hit close to home. All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Sound Radio. We'll be back in 7 days to do it again. Hopefully Dark Sakura is feeling up to joining us as well that week, and the whole gang can be here for episode 930. And I hope all of you will be here as well. Thank you so much for tuning into Orange Sound Radio. I hope you have a great week. Happy gaming. Take precautions. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. Join us for our live show. Tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VogNetwork, but you know they were all still true.